Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. You know, that talk show that is made for men by men. Women don't even want to miss our show. Even though we are the talk show that always addresses life, love, and relationships from a man's perspective, well, we talk about things that help people see much clearer into solutions. What do I mean by that? Everyone's always saying, where's the solution? Where's the solution? How do you go to a doctor and say, just give me a solution, doc, without the doctor doing some sort of diagnosis, which means he has to thoroughly understand the problem? If he's going to tell you you have cancer or your heart's malfunctioning or heart murmur. So what we like to do here is really understand the problem. And we also forgot to make myself known here. You have to really understand what's going on before you can start talking about solutions. This is how you get malpractice. So welcome to Straight Talk, you know, the talk show made for men by men. Welcome, everyone. And we are going to talk about something interesting. You guys know we're always talking about social issues and relationships. So we're going to talk about marriage, really kind of the cost of a relationship. And, you know, with marriages being at all-time high, at all-time lows, a lot of guys are getting the message, right? There are laws in place that have told guys that marriage is a bad idea. And even more, it's even saying relationships are a bad idea. You guys remember the gentleman in Canada who ended up paying thousands of dollars a month to a woman he never married, didn't even live with her. So we're going to talk about those situations. When are they valid? You know, how to keep yourself out of this stuff. If you are going to go down this path, you know, what do you do? But we've got some big problems in the U.S. You know, people, men and women do enjoy relationships. The question now has become, at what cost? And so when the cost of a relationship is much higher than the benefits and the enjoyment, then you're going to look at who's benefiting the most. And if the court system is always pushing to save the woman, especially in a time of equal rights, you know, maybe the court laws need to be completely rewritten, thrown out. You know, we're in a time where women have actually gotten what they wanted. And they're attempting to enjoy the benefits of two worlds. This, I'm independent and don't need a man, and I need everything you own, half of everything you own. So come on in. Like the video as you come in. Smash that thumbs up. Smash it. We're going to get into this alimony, palimony, common law. So smash the like button as you come in. I see you guys and Instagram, thanks for joining. Thank you, thank you. Sydney, always good to see you, country boy. Zoxity, is that the right? Am I getting you right? I know you're always here, country boy. I see you. So, you guys know I don't always like just giving some opinions. So we're going to look at what the experts say. So share the video for all the men who are on the fence and trying to figure out what to do or what not to do. This is the place to get the facts of life. And if you'd like to join the conversation, well, you actually can. I have a phone number. It's 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. So if you'd like to join the discussion, if you've ever had to pay palimony, I really want to hear from you. If you have or are paying alimony, I'd like to hear your thoughts about that also. And if you're a guy who sort of slipped either one of those, like you almost were on a hook and you slipped it. I'd like to hear how you did that. Let's give an education to the guys who need to hear someone who is successful slipping, bobbing and weaving, you know, bobbing and weaved the alimony and palimony, you slipped it and came back with a hook. So, what's going on, SW? Good to see you in the house. You know, we're talking about whether it's palimony or alimony. Choose your poison. And I know a lot of guys have just completely backed out of this marriage and cohabitation. Many women are getting a little upset and wondering what's going on and where did all the men go? Someone has that sort of soundtrack. But yes, that is happening. And perhaps we need to rethink the entire court system. So yep, they've backed out. So, you know, women said, hey, you know, we want to have our own money. And women are bragging that they're making more money than some men. Yet they still want to stick their hand in his wallet. I think the number is about 4% of women pay alimony, which means that's well over 90% of alimony is being paid by men, not by women. Found some interesting laws, even on tax. Instead of me looking at just some Wikipedias, I went to the law firms who actually know the law. And they were saying that alimony is no longer taxed as an income for let's say, the women, which is 96% of the time they are the ones receiving it. And the man, the payer, no longer gets the tax benefit, the tax write-off. So that's a change. I saw also in New Jersey, it used to be alimony for life. Can you imagine for the rest of your life, you're paying, you marry this woman for 10 years and it's split. You know, she wanted out, which 80% of the time it's her saying, I want out. And then for the rest of your life, you're paying her. 2014, they changed that law. But if you're married for 20 years, she could still get that. So come on in, guys. Smash that like button. What's going on, Nick? Thanks for joining. Smash that thumbs up button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a good time to hit that subscription bell and share this. Share this. Let's get into some facts instead of a bunch of opinions. And SW, what do you mean by priorities? Priorities. What are you talking about? So, let's see what we have here. So let's look at alimony first. And another thing, at one point, you had to prove who was at fault for the divorce. So there was such a thing as at-fault divorce. And I think it was California, 1968, the first one, the liberal state, that said no-fault divorce. And most states have it, but now there are several states, 14 states still have fault. So 14 out of 50, that, you know, gives us 36 states have no fault divorce, And the states that have fault are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Vermont, and Virginia. Isn't Virginia for virgins? Oh, it's for lovers, right. So those are the states where there's fault, and I guess that, man, that's a, they probably make that a task for you. And if we look at Dr. Dre, you know, we talk about prenuptial agreements. Some guys are just saying, hey, skip it. You know, that's not even, it's not even worth the effort because Dr. Dre had a prenup. But perhaps there's a lesson in there with him because his attorneys apparently were not good. He's fired his attorneys. What's the verdict that she was getting like $800 million from him? Like she just raped him. He did all the work, right? This guy did the training. He was the businessman and supported him. And, you know, this is making guys step away of broad's priorities. Well, maybe men have seen what a woman's priorities are, and that's why marriages are at an all-time low. But so a lot of guys, you might think, well, I just won't get married and we'll live together. Well, let's get into that. Yeah, you can get far in the wives country, boy. Man, you've got to. I know a guy who got a foreign wife, brought her up from Brazil, made sure she couldn't speak English. He learned Portuguese. And man, that still ended up getting messy. So she's back in Brazil now. So you think Dr. Dre was a dumbass? Well, he's proven to not be too smart in the way he's handling things, man. I mean, damn. Like either this woman is just savvy, or she has a great team around her, and they're working his ass over. Well, SW, you know what? I'm going to say I hear what you're saying. Women don't respect men. Maybe 100% of women don't. I don't know. But there are women who are smart enough to know that if they're going to have any kind of domination in this world, they're not going to do it as women. They need to team up with their men. And those women have been smart enough. And if we look around the world, it's been effective. And this has been going on for a while. So... So whether those women respect their men or not, they respect reality that they wouldn't be doing this without their men. And as a result, their men get resources because those women team up with their men. Not only do they team up, they help develop and train the mindset of their little boys, their sons, how to be a dominant force on the planet. Those mothers play a role in that. See, when you have that split between the men and women, there are women who are smart enough to know to work with their men. It's a wise decision. And, you know, the funny thing, SW, is men are the ones who create the fairy tales. You know, there's this whole myth about how creative women are, except if you look at the reality of society, the most innovative, the most creative things, from novels to technology to even the simplest thing, it's men who've created. It's us who are the innovative and creative ones. But we constantly say women are they're creative, and we say they create life. They technically don't create life. It's the seed that comes from the man that has the intelligence to do it all. It finds the egg, it fertilizes it, it does the job of fertilizing it, and once it gets in there, it creates the whole placenta, the fluid, it's the sperm that's doing it. It's the woman is, this is a rough thing to say, it's like a woman is almost like a host. You guys ever see that movie Alien? Remember the alien would, shove something down your mouth, plant a seed in you, and that alien would grow in you and bust out of your stomach. You were just the host. You were not creating life. You were a host for that alien. So anyway, let's get into this alimony and palimony. So we don't have to deal with it like a fairy tale. So what is, technically, what is alimony? So we're going to get it straight from the lawyer's mouth so we don't have to have a bunch of different interpretations. So this is a legal encyclopedia. And it's NOLO is the website, alimony, what do I need to know before divorce? So what is alimony? So SW, that's interesting. So you're from what you're saying, and I mean, in my words, it's almost like men are standing there and allowing themselves to be just shot at, and they haven't done anything about it. So you don't feel sorry for men anymore. That's interesting. But I get it. You no longer have sympathy for males. They'll never get it. Broads only want attention and resources. Yeah, a wife can. And some women have been disappearing. Some wives and girlfriends have been disappearing. So there has been some retaliation. But a lot of that has been over pregnancy, not alimony, to my knowledge. I mean, that may happen too. We just don't hear about it. So what is alimony? Just for the record, some states define alimony as spousal support or maintenance. Whichever alimony definition your state uses, alimony involves payments made by one spouse to another. So they say alimony is alimony payments are designed to equalize the financial resources of a divorcing couple. And you know, whether it's Dr. Dre or there are a lot of guys who are worse off, you know, they've been divorce raped. So when they say equalize, I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that, because there are a lot of men who are not coming out equalized. So alimony is generally awarded in cases where the spouses have very unequal earning power and have been married a long time. So I do know people who married a professional woman and they actually got off. I think they may not even paid alimony, but they paid child support. And the benefit was their wife had great earning power. And that's one of the things that this talks about. A judge is going to assess a woman's earning power. So, and this is interesting. Maybe you guys knew this, but if alimony is ordered, it can be in the form of a lump sum payment, property transfer, or periodic monthly payments, and periodically alimony awards are the most common and require one spouse to pay a certain amount the other. So that's the one we all hear about. But there are lump sum alimony awards, and alimony in the form of property transfer are generally non-modifiable, meaning it can't be changed later, so it can't be terminated or undone. So there's also, it talks about, as with most issues in your divorce, you and your spouse can reach an agreement about the amount and length of time alimony will be paid. So I know a woman who tried to get alimony for life, and this was in New York, and she did not get it. She did get it for 5 years, and she was rather upset about that. So it's like I said in the beginning, imagine paying alimony. You're paying a woman who no longer wants to be with you, or you don't want to be with her, or it's amicable, right? And for the rest of your life, you're supporting her. I mean, hell, how many people are supporting even a child like that for the rest of their life, right? You would hope that you're not. So bring in a couple of callers here. I'm going to bring you guys in one at a time. And if anyone has paid alimony, definitely want to hear from you. If you're paid alimony, still paying it, like to hear it. Or if you're the guy who were able to bob and weave and slip either one, like to hear your story and share your knowledge to the rest of the guys. So area code 870 and 605. So 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call from?
Hey, Ted, how's it going? This your boy Kendrick from Park, Arkansas.
What's going on? Thanks for calling, Kendrick. How are you, man?
Oh, everything's fine and well, man. Looking forward to this show this evening.
Very cool.
Yeah,
so what,
me too.
Any thoughts on this?
My thoughts so far, I needed this, and a whole lot of other young men out here need to hear this, and hopefully we can learn from other men's failures and their positive experiences dealing with this topic.
Okay, good. And you've got, I guess, a radio or something on a computer in the background. There's an echo, so can you manage that?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to get ready to go back on mute, Ted.
All right, cool. Thank you. 605. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Ted. Hey, Kendrick. This is Joe. How are you guys
doing?
Oh,
pretty well in yourself. How are you, man?
I'm doing fine. And by the way, thanks for looking out for me last week with giving me the domain for to see the movies. I took advantage of it. I got something for you today, which I think you like.
All right. Cool. Hey, you're
okay.
Welcome. You're welcome. Hey, wait, Joe, quick.
Sure.
I gave it to you verbally?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. And you checked it out. Perfect. Good. Good to hear.
Right. Uh-huh. And here's something for you which would be good for your research. It's called angryharry.com. Angryharry.com. He's located in England. He's been around for at least 10, 12 years. And he's a men's rights activist,
and
he has the kind of topics that you like to put on your show. So I thought I'd return the favor for you.
I appreciate it. AngryHarry.com?
Yep.
Okay.
You'd enjoy it. He's got hundreds of articles about men. He's frank too. He's very frank. He practically calls women parasites for certain situations, and he discusses palimony and alimony, I'm fairly sure. And getting back to your topic about, no, I'm lucky, I don't have to pay alimony, child support, or palimony. That's one of the reasons why I decided to opt out of the incarceration institution of marriage. So that's that. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Oh, and by the way, when you gave that definition of alimony, the people who gave it, I think they're kind of technically wrong because they keep saying spouses get payments. I would think technically, in a legal sense, it would have to be called ex-spouses because technicality mean a lot in the legal language. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But right now, I'll put myself back on mute and let you go ahead with the difference between alimony and palimony.
Okay. Well, so you're, you know, good catch on that. But I think what they're maybe getting at is before the divorce is declared, it's still your spouse, and you're still negotiating this with your spouse before you're divorced.
Yeah, but they say, yeah, okay, I mean, a person can do that, but I would think that since you're reading from a legal dictionary, they would be more careful so that I wouldn't even have to come up with that kind of idea. But I understand the gist of it. Of course, you're not going to pay your spouse alimony and palimony, and she's going to be, or he's going to be, but mainly she's going to be the ex-spouse. But
right.
You'd be surprised what, you know.
You know what? Go ahead.
You'd be surprised what kind of legal battles can take place over a comma, over a period, over a semicolon.
hey, Joe, I have some more calls coming in, but Joe, I used to run a translation firm, translations of foreign languages, and we did a lot of work for attorneys, intellectual property, contracts, all kinds of things. And man, that what you just said, one comma out of place can change the entire contract. So it's imperative that you actually have people translating those documents who actually understand the law. And have the training and the background in both languages and in the law. So, yeah, 100% on point with that.
Yeah, yeah. It was that was a point of rancor for the, I forget what, yeah, about the interpretation of the Second Amendment in the Constitution. Yeah. Militia versus people, yeah. For the firearms, yeah.
I'm going to take another call here at area code 310, and I want to bring another. I'm going to bring you guys in, but 310, you go first. Also, 647. So area code 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's going on, Teddy? It's Reds, West Coast.
What's going on, West Coast? But you're down in Atlanta, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm down here. What you want to know about this dump? I can tell you about the dump, all you need to know. But
Did you ever avoid any of these, alimony, palimony? Did you ever bob and weave and slip them, or did you ever have to pay one?
Well, yeah, remember, I'm originally from Los Angeles, California, so I've been down to the family court, so I didn't seen it. I wasn't married. And I never lived, I didn't live with any, have a live-in situation. I just had a kid out of wedlock. So, you know, I know that, but I've seen it, though.
That's child support. But we're talking
right.
About alimony and palimony.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I heard you, before I came on, I heard somebody, I guess SW, I guess they said, I believe any man that gets his ass caught up in this meat grinder now, with all the facts and history and everything, you know, in his face, and he still decides to go down this route to have some kind of what they call it, hope or some fantasy or something. He deserves to get his ass tore up. I'm not gonna feel sorry for it, you know. It's like, you know, if you don't know that, you know, I can accept the fact that you didn't know, but now you know. So, and you still the chose, so I don't have no sympathy for you. If she wants to tear your ass up or you want to get caught up in this gynocentric cesspool, then, you know, I'm not going to feel bad for you. I'm not.
Got it.
I'm not.
No, go ahead. I think we're well. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, even a BOA, he's even said, he's like, you know, hey, back in the day, you know, we didn't know. We were brought by single mother. We had this fantasy, whatever. But no, I mean, the nature, just like the nature of the beast, man, exposed, man. The nature of the beast, man, exposed. And, well, just, you know, and she.
What do you think of Dr. Dre's, and I'm asking.
Well,
but, one second. Let me bring area code 647.
No.
You're having a straight talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is Patrick calling from Toronto. How are you?
Hey, Patrick, what's going on, man? Don't you have a different area code? You're different this time, right?
No, it's the same. It's the same.
Okay. All right.
It's the same. But
hold Red. Let him go. Let Patrick go. Go ahead, Patrick.
No, but you asked me. But you asked me about Dr. Dre, and I wanted to tell you. You was.
Wait. I want Patrick.
Let him go, Patrick.
I want to
hear what he has to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Because you're wrong. What happened with Dr. Dre was it was a conflict of interest because his lawyer chief had already represented him and his wife before on some previous things. So on the technicality, you know, her lawyers came in and said they had to be removed because of this. So now he had to get rid of them and get a whole another legal team. So that's what happened to Dr. Dre. That's all I wanted to tell you. Go ahead, Patrick. This one.
He's getting a new attorney also. So I guess all the attorneys were thrown out to court. Because
his attorney team had represented him and his wife together previously on some other stuff. So technically, she brought that up, and her team had them dismissed. So he got to get a whole new team. That's all I wanted to say. How you doing, Patrick? Go say what you got to say, bro.
No, great discussion tonight. I think this is an important topic. Now, I can understand, you know, guys, I can't say that I necessarily fault guys for going and trying to get a family and build a family. Because I still think families are very important. You know, however, most men prior to marriage, even if they know some of this stuff, don't know all of it, right? They don't know the full thing. And there's nothing on the marriage certificate behind, outside of the marriage certificate, which spells out all of the details of what may happen if it doesn't work out, right?
Right.
So I don't necessarily fault. I just think that the information is starting to get out here. And I think people are trying to make the most rational choice that they can. Yeah. I mean, and there's, you know, and it's a catch-22, Ted, right? So if you're a man and you want to have children, and you're just dying to have children or a child or something like that, and you want to be involved with the child and that kind of thing, you know, still the best option. I mean, the best scenario, the healthy two-person family for the child to grow up in. That's been proven. I think we all know that.
Right.
You know, you can make other arrangements and those kind of things. But if you have somebody living there, you're still on the hook, right, if it doesn't work out. So it's kind of a catch-22, you know. So for a young man, who's fresh out of school, he's been working a few years, he's starting to make some money, he really wants to have a family because the higher-ups in the corporation, they're all married and have family. He just really wants to have a family. You know, he's stuck, you know. It's not an easy decision for a young man like that. Like, for us who are older, it's different, right? But for a young man who really wants that, you know, to say that you shouldn't even try and you're not going to have it, I think the best thing to do is just give them all the information or put that out there so that they can make the best decision for themselves. But it's tough.
So you don't think that they should go down and talk to a family lawyer or go down there and sit in the courtroom and get that experience firsthand?
Absolutely.
Like I did? So that, well, because after I left there, I already knew I wasn't getting married. I got scared straight.
Right. But there's some, like if you look at my situation. You know, I was that guy, right? So, you know, everything was going right. You know, got married, had the kids. To this day, they're like my best friends. They're like, we still, you know, they're both in university, you know, son and daughter. And we're just like super duper cool. But I had an arrangement where I had 50% custody. And I don't want to talk about how that happened.
But that's you, man.
That's what I was about to say. That's not a normal outcome. But what I was going to say is that when you have that kind of drive to have a family, you know, and have children, it's not an easy decision. If it's a person that can, you know, hey, I can take it or leave it, then it becomes an easier decision. But if it's somebody that really wants to carry on their legacy and that dreams of having children in a household and family, it's a different discussion. I'm not saying that those men should just jump into it and do it. All I'm saying is that it's a different discussion than for somebody who can take it or leave it or whatever.
Patrick, are you from Canada?
No, I'm not from Canada. I just happen to live here right now.
You live in Canada. Okay. Well, the point I'm getting to is that I'm sure most of us on the line know Joe Rogan. He's got the most podcasts downloaded in the world.
Yeah.
You know him as the... Okay.
Hey, you broke
on a TV. I forgot the name of it. I mean,
Joe,
and,
Joe, you broke up. Repeat that. You broke up.
Oh. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got a friend who was a Canadian. He was the star of the TV show, which goes back about 20 years. I forget the name of the show. In any case, this guy was making about $1 million a year. He married a fellow Canadian girl. They got divorced. Now, the Canadian law with regards to alimony is that now the guy who was the star of the series no longer, you know, is a star. He's down in the B list or C list now. He's never gotten back up to that particular level of fame and income. But the Canadian courts have been telling him for these past years that since he made $1 million during that time when he was married and got divorced, even though let's say he's making only about $100,000 a year now, he still got to pay his ex-spouse the same amount of money that he was paying before, because now the woman has gotten accustomed to a lifestyle that he's obligated to pay, even though he can no longer provide that lifestyle. So the laws in Canada, in some cases, are worse than the laws in America.
Oh yeah, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. You're right, Joe. And I think the only point I was trying to make is that the discussion between all of us, who I assume are a bit older, and the discussion with a 25-year-old who's just coming up, who's just starting to come into his own, or the 27-year-old who's just starting to come into his own, who really desires to have a family and children and carry on his legacy, that's a different, like, discuss this with me now. It would be a different discussion if you try to discuss this with me at 25, right? Because there's a certain amount of understanding that we need to have for those young men who want these things. So I just think that the discussion is a bit more nuanced as opposed to we're all like, no, we would never do it. We never do it. It's just blah, blah, blah. I think for somebody young, it's a different discussion. That's all I was saying.
Well, it's all how... You know, you explain it to them. Just like I just said, say, this is a young man. Listen, I understand this and this, but listen to me. As an older man, I would advise you to get legal representation before you do this and really research this and understand everything that you're getting into. Because you got to understand something. Your wife and your children don't belong to you. They're property of the state. The state is the pimp. He's the pimp. Tipping this off, you're going to end up being a trick. But like you said, if you go in there and you ammoed up and you understand everything that's on the line. You know the laws. You know this. You want to sit in court. You've seen some guys get their ass tore up. You've seen the jail. Everybody in there happy. Everybody in there happy making money. Only people in there that ain't looking too good is going to be the guys. So now you know this. You talk. Now going and you fully aware. And you still make that leap. It's your, you know, it's all on you. But I know you got to say something to him. You know, you at least got to say something to him to, like, guide him down that way, right? You're not going to stay in the gray area. You're going to give it to him straight, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I agree. You should give it to the young person straight. You have to give it to the young person straight. But maybe there's some additional things. So even if a young man says, no, I really want to do this, maybe going to, you know, seeking the advice of an attorney will help him to minimize some of the damage that could be done during a divorce. Like if somebody were to talk to me before, there were some things that I could have done, even though I came out pretty good. I mean, I didn't have to, you know what I mean? I came out with a very favorable, you know, ruling on the
divorce.
Okay,
was it a fight? Excuse me, was it a fight or was it amicable?
Oh no, it was contentious, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that. Go ahead, Joe.
Here's the thing. I wanted Kendrick's or even the other caller's opinion on this too, is that society is dichotomized about this. Society says that in order to have a healthy family relationship, in order to have a healthy relationship environment in which to bring up the kids, you should be married. But then at the same time, when they say and they say you should be married, then they penalize the man for getting married. Now, here's what I believe.
Yes.
I don't believe that the state should be involved in this at all, and I don't believe that religion should be involved in this at all. I believe that a man and a woman should make their own arrangements, and as the other caller was saying, even get your own legal representation, even in that type of environment, so that both of them will agree, so that in case there is a split, that they can do this without having to go to the state. Because I do not like somebody saying to me, I have to either go to the Justice of the Peace or to go to a pastor in order to get married. So that's what I wanted to say.
I agree. I agree with the whole keeping the state out of your relationship as much as possible.
Okay, hey, once that kid is born, once those papers are filed, the state got jurisdiction.
You're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons I don't want the state involved.
That's what I'm trying to say. You're talking about you can get the paperwork done. You can do this. You don't have to go this. Once that kid is born and that social security number is there, anything go down, that kid is a ward of the state. You have a kid out of wedlock. I mean, if you got a lawyer, you can go get, you know, establish a paternity after having a DNA test, which that should be mandatory, but that's a whole other subject. But all of those things play a factor. So you had to go, first, now you had to get out of wedlock now. So legally, biologically, the kid is yours, but legally it's not. Not until you get it on the paperwork.
It depends on the age of the child, though. It depends
the
on the age. Let me explain it to you. When my son was 13, when this all went down, he was like, "Oh, I'm staying over here." He didn't care what the judge said. I'm right
well,
here.
I understand.
I'm with that. I don't care what the judge say.
Hey.
And he said, "I don't care what the police say." Unless they want to come over here and grab me out, this is where I am, and this is where I'm
I understand, but, okay, listen, that's when they're a teenager, okay? We understand when kids are 12, 13, they can say where they want to go. But in the early years, when that kid is born, because you wouldn't jump like 13 years ahead of the fact that the condition that you had this kid in, that y'all was together, okay, or y'all was married, or not on paper, not on a legal document, but... You know, y'all jumped the broom, y'all had a kid, or you went to a lawyer or a legal aid, has some paperwork drawn up, whatever, and shit. The court gonna look at the court not gonna even honor it. She gets pissed off, and she wants to take that shit to court. They gonna throw that shit out and get in bed with her because they make money off of this shit. The state is the pimp. The state is the pimp. Why do you think they overriding it, these prenuptials and shit, huh? They know that she signed the shit.
Rich, the reason a lot of prenuptials get overridden because they were written as like one page documents. These prenuptials that are like 8, 9, 10 pages, they stand up a whole hell of a lot better. And maybe
really
I had talks with lawyers about this. So I asked them, why are so many prenuptial agreements getting thrown out? They're like, they're one page document. Like, you need to have a thorough prenuptial agreement. But let's just go back to what Patrick said, something important. He said, you get a marriage certificate, and on the front, it tells you you're married. On the back, it doesn't tell you what the arrangements are, right? And what's going to happen. So if this starts to look at marriage, not as this, what SW was saying, like this fairy tale, marriage is a legal binding contract. And technically, when you get married, that is a prenuptial agreement. So when your girlfriend is saying, we need to be married, that's actually asking you to sign a prenuptial agreement that is sanctioned by the government. And, you know, that's what Reg is pushing at. It's like the government, you know, kids become a ward of the state. This whole agreement is sanctioned by the government. The smart thing to do, and I'm going to support what Patrick is saying, smart thing to do, this guy is 27. He makes $75,000 a year, and he's moving up. Like, he's going to do well. This guy will eventually have a healthy 6-year income, and he wants to leave a legacy for his kids, right? So he's got his own business. He wants to bring his kids up to inherit his business. He wants to have kids family. He wants that experience. You could tell him to get a surrogate one, right? You pay about $50,000. You go to a company, the woman gets artificially inseminated, she has her baby, and she walks. She has nothing to do with it.
No.
You still have children that care, though, because you're working. So
that may be for some people, that wasn't for me. I wanted my children breastfed. I want my children, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very strict about what I wanted. And so that is an option, but it's not an option for.
Patrick, that's what I'm getting at. You still need someone to support you in raising them if you're going to work, yeah. Right? And you're making money, right? You're busy. You have meetings. You're traveling.
Absolutely.
You know what? So who do you get? Like, so maybe the first step before you even get your son sitting down with an attorney, you need to help him understand how to choose wisely and what compatibility means for him. I mean, that's the first step. Then it's, hey, if you don't want a wife, well, here are your options. You can do a surrogate mother, right? But you're still going to need someone to help raise and care for the child when you're not there.
Absolutely.
You're going to hire a nanny, or some people call au pair if it's more expensive. Or you just have her living with you, right? And then that gets us to the other top. And I'm just going to say this because you guys are having a great conversation, but I want to just throw palimony in there. So what is palimony? And most, it's definitely something that comes out of a common law marriage, but most states in the U.S. don't recognize common law marriage. Only 10 recognize it. But what is palimony? Many states across the country recognize common law marriage. When you live with someone long enough, you gain the rights of legally married couples. When married couples get divorced, they are entitled to certain property rights. California is not one of those states. So if you're not married, you don't get property rights. In order to enjoy the benefits of marriage, you must actually get married. However, there is one benefit that the state may extend to long-term partners if you and your partner are together for long enough, you may be entitled to financial support after the breakup. So if you guys know who the old actor Lee Marvin was, he was married to a, not married, he was living with, in California, a woman by the name of Michelle Triola.
I remember the story.
And when they broke up, she sued him. And there was no such thing as palimony before that. She actually lost and never got it, but California looked reviewed it and said, well, we need to put some laws in place for people who are long-term partners. Because she made the claim that she gave up her career, she promised to take care of her for the rest of her life, and he said, no, I never made that promise. So she lost. But now there's something called palimony, so you don't live together, but you have to live, depending on the state, a certain amount of time. So you know, if it's 20 years and you're acknowledged as, you know, being together, living, you know, cohabiting, they'll give it to you. But then there are other cases they talked about where maybe you were still married to someone else, so your second marriage never counted, but you thought you were, and now, you know, you've been together 10 years and still get it. So there are all these situations where if you're not legally married, you're cohabitating or under the belief you were married, you can still get palimony, which is, they said. Yes.
Did you hear about the case, I think, that had arisen about 8 or 9 months ago? It may have been in Canada, but I don't quite remember, where there was a couple. Both of them were making good money. They were not living together. They had separate residences, and they would go over and sleep at each other's houses every once in a while, but they did not live together, and they were not married, but then they broke up, and the guy had to pay some sort of palimony.
I'm putting it up on
the screen. This was in Canada.
I just put it up on the screen. You're on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the
right.
I'm gonna read article in Toronto. So this happened in Canada. Patrick probably is very familiar. A wealthy businessman will have to pay more than $50,000 a month in spousal support for 10 years to a woman with whom he had long-term romantic relationships, even though they kept separate homes and had no children together. And actually, Joe, he asked her to stop working. She wasn't working. She was working when he met her, and he said, give it up. And he made the mistake of taking care of her, providing her with a lifestyle. That's where he made the wrong turn.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read that. He's paying like $53,000 a month for 10 years. Can you imagine that?
The sucker played itself.
Yeah.
Hey, you feel sorry for him? Wait a minute. Do y'all feel sorry for him?
No.
I do, and I'll tell you why.
That's the whole point.
Yes, I do, because that's the thing is that is a very brand new type of wrinkle in the law. They were not living together. That's not common law. So that's why I feel so. How the hell does this guy know ahead of time that he's going to be screwed for $53,000 a month?
And I'm
That's
pretty
true.
Sure he proposed to her. She said no. But see, here, Joe, here's where he made the wrong turn. He suggested that she quit her job, and he provided a lifestyle. He supported her. Even though they didn't live
together. Yeah, that is wrong.
And she had two children. He provided financial support for her and her children. So they were not living.
I think that's a wrong thing.
Yeah, he took care of her household. So
I think it's the wrong thing to suggest.
Yeah.
Sure. I think it's a wrong thing to suggest. But what they may not also be putting in the story is that he and she may have made an agreement over how much of a lifestyle he should be providing for her. In other words, how many times he should take her out, how many times he should go on vacation, how much he should pay for boating trips, etc. Maybe he paid for everything during the time that they were together, so that to compensate for her giving up her job. But now the law steps in and says, well, okay, you suggested that she give up her job. She doesn't want to stay with you anymore. You're going to still continue to pay her, even though you might have had an arrangement with her about how much you should have paid during the relationship. I'd like to read more on that in the story, you know.
Right.
But I do feel sorry for the guy.
Well, he proposed to her more than once. She kept saying no.
Well, like you were saying, she knew, and I guess maybe she went to a lawyer, she knew she had an automatic prenuptial agreement.
Right, he never had any input into it. So, hey, guys, let me bring one more person into the conversation. I'm going to bring in area code 678. 678, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call?
That's Atlanta.
Good evening, player. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? This must be Samuel.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but basically brought up what I was just been saying for years. When these dudes go out here, they get hyped up off these videos and YouTubes and et cetera. They don't understand when they sit here and say, oh, my baby ain't got to work and et cetera. That means she's totally dependent upon you for survival. So when she has them kids and et cetera, and she decides to go ahead and dip for the dude at Chick-fil-A, you are responsible for her. She's going to get you a house because she was dependent upon you for her livelihood. She's going to get that money. She's going to get the children. Even though you have the money, she's still going to get the children. So she's getting your home, your money, your children, alimony, and child support. But somehow you're still supposed to be able to find a way to take care of yourself. Dudes don't get it. They don't understand the game. It's no joke. It's not like Parker Brothers. You can't just put it in the box and put it in the closet. This is real life. These dudes don't understand reality. They think it's a joke. They don't understand.
Hey, I think I started off when I came on just about what this guy is saying. If you don't know this shit by now, you're going to get yourself get caught up in your ego and all this. You deserve to get your ass worked on. The information is out. The bitch just shows you what time it is. Okay. I mean, you already know the nature of this. You already know the nature. It parasites. Why you want to put yourself in that situation? I know your biological drive is to have children and you want to have this fantasy of bringing up your kids in this, you know, the best way. But obviously she don't feel that way because she's willing to break up the family. So what can you do? You know, what you want to do? You
want to
play yourself?
Men are known for doing the right thing. Like you say, for creativity and creating structure and whatever. Women are only known for one thing. It's not nurturing. Regardless of what people may say, not nurturing.
Hey, you're 100% right there, bro.
Women are only known for having children, basically, in my opinion. So it's like men just don't get it. Women are not your friends. They don't care for you. By nature, they don't love you because it's just not in their being. And don't get it.
Can I elaborate on the children, man? They really don't love the children unless the children – they loving the children, right? Are they trying to isolate the children? They want the children – they loving the children because they want the children to just love them. They're not loving the children because – you know, I had this kid, and, you know, unconditionally, they got son husbands, they got their daughters who still live with them, you know, whatever, because they're loving to get the love back. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like the biological where, I gave birth and I brought this kid into the world. I mean, they'll tell the kid that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Samuel, but they'll tell the kid, you owe me, you owe me for giving birth to you. Really? I didn't ask for you to be my mother.
The women are going to default.
Well, no, black
women
don't know
everything.
Well, listen, yeah, I understand that. But listen, I have to say this. I ask Asian guys, white guys, Middle Eastern guys, whatever. The only mother to ever tell their kids that shit is a black woman. Other race women don't tell their kids that shit. But go ahead, bro.
Well, I don't really know about other races of women as far as what they're told in their household, but I know what I see because when I'm out and about at work or wherever, I see all races of women because for some particular reason, dudes like to say Asian women and foreign women. Every woman I see is doing the same damn thing. It's like I'd be out and about, and I see bras of any race flirting, even though they're married, trying to get attention, even though they have their children with them, dressed in a certain way, and they may see them leaving the house, their pants pulled up in their butt, makeup and perfume, and their hair done. What's she doing all that shit for? And dudes thinking, that's my woman. No, she's not your woman. She's showing you that she still needs the attention from other men. But men just don't understand.
Listen, I understand all bitches and I'm saying. All I said was that the only race of woman that I've ever heard, and I've asked other, did they mother ever say that type of shit to them? They didn't say, they don't get down like that. The only mothers who tell their kids that you owe me by giving birth to you is black women.
Oh, I'm not saying whether you're wrong or right. I just can't comment on that because I've really only dealt with a majority of black women. I've never really been in other households. So that's why I can't make a statement on that. But I get what you're saying.
Okay, but well, I have. That's why I'm telling you this. In the history of whatever, the only race of women that tell their fucking kids that are black women.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Go ahead. They all the same, though. Well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying. I just can't really make a judgment because, you know, just from my standpoint. But I'm just speaking of men. Just I think men really believe in love more than women do. I think men actually believe that in the white picket fence and she's going to have a yellow dress and he's going to come home to the cookies. Men just don't understand that. This is my opinion. You know, it may sound whatever they want to title it as, but I just think men believe in fairy tales and the stuff that. I'm not going to say it's been inbred in them. It's just, I don't know if it's nature or what, because we just want to do the right thing. But I think men pretty much are a victim to their own nature because we actually want to do for others, especially our own. We're not looking at ourselves.
But your nature is being exploited.
Exactly.
You have to understand, and as I told Ted before, no species can ever really be happy fighting their biological makeup, okay? No species. So a man's biological, you know, if you're a builder and you stop building, but it's in you, there's a conflict. There's a battle going on. You're not going to be happy because you're not feeling your, you know, it's in you and you're suppressing it, but you might be suppressing it for your own survival.
Exactly.
So now
I fully agree.
You want to see. So you see what's going on. You're being pulled. You're being pulled. But the number one law of in life is preservation.
I was saying that yesterday.
Self preservation.
I fully agree. I was saying that yesterday.
So
no,
I fully agree.
Both of you are right. Samuel and Red are both right on all counts. I think men do get caught up in the romance, the fairy tale of believing that we should have a family. And Red is right about the fact that a lot of women don't, and Sam, you said this specifically, and Red is right too about, hey, women do not have this natural nurturing instinct that they like to brag about to the extent that they brag about it. Because a lot of times they will want children not so they can love the kids all for themselves, but because they want the kids to love them back.
Thank you. That's what I just said. But Montana, Joe. Check this out.
Hey.
I know. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying. Listen. Just this weekend, a woman went and poisoned her two infant twin children in New York. He might have heard about. She was putting Ajax or something in their damn formula, trying to kill them. They wouldn't die. Then she wouldn't stab one. I mean, these kids is like about a month or two old, you know. And she was like, "Well, they wouldn't let me." As a matter of fact, check it out. She don't even know who the father is. They said, "Well, who's the father?" She said, "I don't know."
Go ahead. I'm Ted. I don't remember my. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, my point is they're not nurturers.
Let Joe
finish. I'm
sorry,
Joe. Hey, Ted. Yeah, I had a show a couple of weeks ago talking about.
I forget where I got the resource from.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Hold
go ahead.
Let Joe finish.
Yeah, I was just saying that Ted had a show a couple of weeks ago with regards to the figure of 70% of domestic violence is caused by women. And that's admitted. And I knew it was 40%.
I thought
it
was.
And that wasn't even an admitted number, 70%. So, yeah, we have to stop looking at women as being the angels and just look at them as human beings. And we have to put ourselves up on the pedestal. And, Ted, you know, you got me. You got me thinking about it. I wish I knew a lawyer so that he can come on the show and talk about how middle-class men, definitely not rich men, can talk about how to prepare themselves for marriage and for living together so that they don't get caught up in the alimony-palimony quicksand.
How about just don't do it? How about just don't do it?
Well in terms of having...
Let me give you guys... Hold on. The fluent class has like a single-digit divorce rate. So for the majority of the United States, marriage rates have dropped. They're at all-time lows. They first started reporting that in 1865. It's the lowest right now. It's the lowest it's ever been since they started reporting. But the deal is, the fluent class, the marriage rates have not dropped. They are stable, and the divorce rates are exceptionally low. And there are too many case studies of the guy who had no money, lost it, came back, and the wife never left. Even when they both had to move out of the car or move back to the mother's house. So this is, and the research shows that the reason those marriages last is they understand compatibility. That's what I would say to you. Before you take your son to the lawyer, you need to make sure he's educated on how to choose the right woman. I'm giving you guys, so if you don't want to get married and you don't want to have a living girl, great, except you want to have children, so you go to a surrogate, right? And someone still has to care for the kids. So you get a nanny, but someone's going to have to care for them while you work. So if you have a living girlfriend or you have a wife, you've got to make sure you choose a woman who's right for the kind of environment you want to live and raise children in. And that's the number one priority, teach a child.
Yeah, Ted, I think that's a key point. But I think, that kind of learning should be done probably in high school. I think, you know, just learning the psychology of other human beings and learning how to identify, you know, narcissistic behavior, you know, selfishness, this, that, and the other, and helping young people to determine what's the, you know, the kind of mate that they would may have a successful relationship with is key, because we were never taught that in any formal way.
Hey
Patrick,
so the problem is you got to really understand yourself to know who's compatible with you. Even if you can identify a narcissist, hell, you might be a narcissist yourself, and that may be compatible with you. But you need to first understand yourself to know who's right for you. And so if you're not right for the kind of family you want to raise, you might have to do some work on yourself when you're 25.
But I think that's why it's important, because the more you understand, the more you understand about yourself.
Right?
Like,
see,
so,
we can say that
so
now.
You know, the more you understand about yourself. And so, like I said, for us, it's one thing for us. We're older. You know. But for the young
people,
that's
what I was going to say, we're older.
Those younger people need to start learning that and at an earlier age, so that they can start making wiser decisions when it comes to, you know, coupling. And one more thing.
And that's what I'm working on now.
Patrick,
hey, Wendy, how are you? Go ahead.
And one more thing. It would also help, you know, education also helps with how you deal with even casual relationships. You guys are aware of the studies that were done. They were looking for, I think it was the University of Seattle was looking for like they were researching a certain disease, and what they found out while they were researching was that the DNA of men, if you have unprotected sex with a woman, if you ejaculate inside of her, your DNA stays with her for a lifetime. So, so what they also found, I think there was another study by another university that says that the more partners, I think it was men and women, but I know women were in there, the more partners they have, the more trouble they were having creating a lasting emotional bond with one man.
So,
and I found that very interesting. Yeah.
So absolutely.
In one study,
Patrick.
Hold on, Rich. Hold on.
I know, but you had a show on this already.
Never mind. We can move past it.
Just quick.
I just wanted to mention
it. So when a woman gets to the 6 different guys she's had sex with, 3 times less likely to be in an emotionally stable relationship. And the more that number goes over 6, the less likely she's going to be emotionally stable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm good with that because I ain't trying to own none of these hoes and they match no bottom. I'm just there to play. I look at them, you know, I'm not trying to take them serious. I mean, maybe for some of you guys who, you know, trying to build a family, and I mean, y'all would like to try to save the community or build something, but I mean, at this point in time, I mean, I don't even think the juice is worth the squeeze. I mean, it just, you know, somebody's gonna fuck it up for everybody.
Look at it this way though. You can't say no Harley brothers. She already a done deal.
Well, hold on.
What's that, country boy?
There's another.
I'm saying she dead in the water, bro. I'm like you, your best home is just living.
But see, this is
sorry,
Ted. Go ahead.
Yeah, somebody. Hey, Ted. I mean, I would like for things, you know, to be all rosy and, you know, the fairy tale, but it's not. So, I mean, you want to sit up there and have you want to live in reality or you want to live the dream? The dream going to turn into a nightmare. 95% chance that dream is going to turn into a nightmare on your ass.
But see, the thing is, we came to these conclusions because we're of age and we've lived. The problem is the younger generation, they're in school. Like I say, they're not even studying in school, so they can't be prepared for anything of this nature. So the dudes out here having sex with the girls, getting them pregnant, getting STDs and whatever, the thing is, baby mamas and baby daddies have become the new norm. It's not even new no more. It's pretty much it's a standard now. So the children don't understand. When I say children, I mean they're not children. They're adults, but you know what I'm saying, because we've been through. But they have to go through before they learn. That's where the problem's going to come, because it's going to keep reoccurring, because if they don't go through, they're not going to learn. So it's
I don't agree with that.
Well,
they don't have to go through it to learn. There were a lot of mistakes that were done by people when I was young, that people were older than me, people I hung out with. I didn't have to go through anything to know not to do what they were doing and end up in prison.
You have to look at statistics.
Absolutely
of baby mamas. We look at statistics of baby mamas and unwed and et cetera in the black community.
Yeah.
They're not learning. They don't get it. It's like it's going to get worse. So they're not learning.
But here's what I'm saying. They don't have to if they're educated properly.
I look at education like this. I can meet a woman who has a master's degree in whatever, but she can't make an omelet. So education got nothing to do with reality.
No. There's education by experience and there's education by instruction.
But that's
by
what
instruction.
I'm saying, but in order to get educated on something, you have to do it.
I instructed myself, which is in education.
Patrick, one second. Samuel, when he says education, it's more about what I was saying. If you're not educated to understand compatibility, which means you have to understand yourself first.
I get what you're saying, Ted.
That's So, Samuel,
but
hold on.
But in order to be educated,
Samuel,
go ahead.
Hold on. That's an education that we're not giving to young people. And so when they make these mistakes, what did you expect? You never educated them about how to use and even how to be in relationship.
But see, education is just...
Wait, let me just say this. One of the most
okay.
important things that people need to understand is conflict resolution, because you're going to have misunderstandings, and it doesn't mean you have to have a conflict.
There you go.
So
yep.
when people...
No, I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying it's a form of...
off to the next person, and for a girl, that's a mistake, because she didn't know how to resolve a conflict. She just went to another guy.
But listen to what you're saying, though.
Unstable. So we're not educating girls about their bodies and understanding that you can't do... Even though the feminist told you can do whatever boys can do, you really can't, and there are consequences. Because guys don't have the same emotional instability. And in a second, I'll talk to you guys about the actual biochemistry of why you see a lot of this madness. But go ahead, Sam.
I get what you're saying, but when you say education, that's something that's taught, not learned. They have to actually do it and go through it to actually obtain and learn from experience to get educated. Education is experience. So you can't tell them anything until they've actually experienced it to actually see what it is that you're referring to.
You don't need to experience it to make a decision. I know how crack is.
Let me say this right quick. I could sit here and read all kind of books on living in the woods and Davy Crockett, whatever. But put me in the woods, them books ain't going to do me no damn good, because it's a whole different – it's real life now. I'm not in my living room reading a book or watching a YouTube video on how to make a fire with some twigs. When it's real life, it's a whole different story. If you don't go through it and make mistakes in order to correct – you're not going to learn.
Yeah, but
just,
hold on.
Can I say this?
Joe, just have a quick question. Why do you think the affluent class has a very exceptionally low single parent rate and divorce rate? Why do you think that's happening?
Well, that's kind of surprising me, but I would imagine it's because if they're smart enough in order to accumulate wealth, they're smart enough to have a prenup agreement, and they're smart enough to marry women who supposedly they would talk to about having kids prior to marriage. And they would have lawyers in order to enforce what they want.
But their divorce rate is lower, Joe. Like, most of
well, like I say, it's exactly.
Okay, I can ask that question for you. It's environment and culture. Certain individuals who are raised in certain environments are going to do certain things because of their surroundings. Where others who are not in that same environment and culture are going to do different things.
But do you understand if you don't educate your people, you're going to have an environment that's...
But we're going back to education. Education, it's nothing like life experience versus education are two totally different things.
Sam, let me see if I can clear this up. If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Education can come both ways. You can be taught it and not learn, or you can experience it and not learn, or you can be taught and learn and experience and learn. There are a lot of people who get their heads knocked around and still don't learn, still repeat the same mistakes. And there are people who can be talked to by very loving parents and not learn. Education can
be
both.
I get what you're saying. That's pretty much common sense. Yeah, that's common sense, but I'm going to go back to this once again. You can watch all the videos in the world, read all the books, be told all the stuff on how to, let's say, cook a reel. But when it comes time to cook that reel, you go to that barbecue pit, that's real life. It's like it's really happening. So chances are they're going to burn the meat the first time, the second time, and the third time before they finally get the hang of it. That's what I mean they have to go through. They have to experiment. They have to make the mistakes in order to learn from their mistakes. No one's going to come out and just not make mistakes.
Why aren't the other classes?
because at the other side, apparently they have guidance, the people there with them to guide them through it.
Exactly.
Majority of people don't have nobody to guide them through it. It's like this.
Exactly.
No one's, when a child leaves the house, it's, okay, I'm 18 years old. I tell mom and dad or whoever I'm staying with, hey, I'm gone. I go out the house. They're not by my side. So I go out there. I see a shawty. Guess what I'm finna do with her? We finna do our thing. Now she's pregnant. You know why? Because mom and dad went right there in the bedroom or where we was at while we was doing our thing to guide me. When the person's on their own, they're going to do things that are not so-called, got nothing to do with education. It's just going to be the moment. It's just going to be self-experience.
Guiding a child is education. That's what guiding a child is.
But we're going to what sounds, but we're going to what sounds good versus reality.
I disagree. I was told about family and not having children out of wedlock and all that. There were no parents around me. I went through school. I had a really good bachelor life. But I knew one thing that was not going to happen was I was not going to have a child out of wedlock. I knew that.
No, I can respect that, and I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, I fully understand everything you're saying, trust me. But it's still the reason why in the black community, over 80% out of wedlock, the divorce rate is extremely high and the marriage rate is extremely low. So it depends, once again, upon the environment and upon the household.
I agree.
So it's not, that's why I say education, in my opinion, has nothing to do with it. It just depends on the culture and the environment.
I think you're mixing up education. I think when you think education, I think you're thinking about something formal, like a classroom. When I think education,
parents
raising their children. I educated my children from the baby up, just talking, just really and going over the information and documents. That's an education.
Yeah, that makes
what
sense.
What you do to your children is an education.
No,
that's
that
what
makes
it
sense.
Is.
I agree with you. I fully agree with you. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Say I'm out somewhere and I hold the door for someone. When I was younger, even now, you know, women always say, your mama taught you right. They don't know nothing about me. Oh, my mama. My mama could have been a crackhead. My mama could hate each other. I held the door because I felt it's the right thing to do. It got nothing to do with my mama. It's just something that I chose to do. It's like you can raise your children the best way you can. They can still be crackheads. But you can have children raised by crackheads who say, I don't want to be a crackhead. I want to be different. So it got rid of nothing to do with what the parents tell the person, because they can show them the right way, the child will still do wrong. They can show them the right way, the child might decide he want to do right. So it's like up to the individual to look at who they are as an individual and decide where they want to go. Like you said, you decided you don't want to have children out of wedlock. That had nothing to do with your parents, in my opinion. That was a decision that you chose to make, because your parents might have had 8 children out of wedlock. But you decided you didn't want to be that way. But they might have had no children out of wedlock, and you decided you wanted to. So it's up to the individual.
Someone left a great comment here, and I want to read it because it supports what we're saying here. Today's women have been brainwashed to be man's adversary, but remember, this has been drilled in them by outside forces, not the natural program. So what I'm getting at is women have been educated. This is what we're missing. When you're born, you know nothing. So everything that's given to you through conversations, through parents, media, through teachers, through books, that's your education, right? Without even going to school. So women have been educated that they can do what men do. And so you're talking about a socioeconomic class that's been educated, and no one offsets that education that they received. So they just walk out the house and they can do what men do, and they were told that if she gets pregnant, it's the man's fault. That's their education.
If she gets pregnant, it's her fault. Because it ain't none of my fault.
Now, let's say what you just said.
And that education.
Let's say what you just said.
That education leaves an impact very early on a child's mind.
Let's look at the current trend. What's going on now in reality. Let's just be realistic. I don't like to say what sounds good. I like to just speak factual. Let's look at realistic right now. All these women are so-called educated, but what are they all leaning towards through social media, OnlyFans, pornography, selling their bodies online? They got nothing to do with education. It's just where they feel beneficial to them. No, what I'm saying about formal education to them.
Hold on, Samuel. The thing that you're seeing women do is a product of their they were educated.
But,
exactly
no, but this is what I'm saying. No, I'm not. I'm just making a statement. I'm not trying to debate because we all have a good point of view. But what I'm saying is like the individual makes the decision that they choose to make depending on what they feel is best for them.
Yes,
only
sir,
fan, I'm sticking on OnlyFans because that's what's happening right now. You look everywhere,
no.
Women online getting crazy money for selling their bodies, showing pictures, sucking their toes, playing with themselves for money. So it's like, that got nothing to do with education. It's got to do with what's best for them and their frame of mind right now. They don't really care about the repercussions later. They focus on what's going on right now.
It's not about any type of formal education. When you were born.
I agree with that.
When you hit.
Let's take formal out of the equation.
So now.
But I'm saying people are going by what they feel is best for them right now.
Yes,
and they're not worried about
what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do for their own best self-interest.
That's
the importance of the education. Right.
That's what
that the women
that's the
get.
That's what I'm making.
For example, yes,
that's
you're right. You're right. There was a survey done, in, I think Geraldo Rivera did this on one of his shows. They went into a school, I think it was about either second grade or third graders, and they asked the female students, they gave them a choice. Who do you think you'd like to marry when you grow up? And they showed pictures of a plumber, a businessman, a lawyer, and some other people. Something like 90% of the girls said, I'm going to marry him. Why? He makes a lot of money. By the time they're eight, they're already educated into what they want out of life. So the education, the environment, regardless of whether it's formal, not formal, comes from the parents, comes from the other family members. It's part of all of us. We are all problems when we're young.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. We may have different views, but I still agree with everything that everyone is saying. But I'm just saying as far as the individual, that's what it boils down to. It's like, for example, I get to meet any female, regardless of her background, upbringing, education, who, when with me, would not do whatever I wanted her to do. She could have a husband, big-ass houses, golf course, land, all that stuff. But I know how to cater and bring out what's really inside of them, which overrules their whatever education may be. It goes to their nature, and they would do it. So everything else becomes obsolete and obscure because I'm talking to their nature now. So I can sit here and say, me and you going to have sex. Or if I want to tell her and persuade her, she will have sex with me and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera at the same time. I'm talking about the individual is going to do what they want to do at that point in time, and they're not worried about the consequences. They worry about that later. Just like, for example, I forget where I got this source from. You've heard of insurance fraud, right?
Sam, hold on.
Let me make the statement right quick. Let me make the statement right quick, and I'll be quiet.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. What you're talking about is a certain socioeconomic that they were educated to do exactly what you watched them do. There are socioeconomic classes who are educated but not do that. They're educated to do something else. And you have no idea at all.
No, I'm not. I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with you, but see, I think you misunderstand where I'm coming from. I'm not disagreeing with nothing that you're saying. I'm just giving different roads along the same path. They go in different directions. I agree with what you're saying, but we're speaking as a whole, and we can't speak as a whole because everyone is an individual. Now, you know, you may say the small percentage of the elite or whatever, but I can only speak for the reality of what we see right now is destruction. Everything is being reversed. Everything is being – it's chaos. So that's all I can speak on is what in general is truly happening right here as we see it.
Sam, si yo falo contigo en otro idioma, você não pode entender-me. Você pode entender-me, sim ou não? Okay, see, I just asked you in Portuguese if you could understand me.
I thought you was breaking up. I thought you was breaking up. That's what I thought was going on.
I was speaking to you in Portuguese, and you how that appeared is that I was breaking up, right? Because you were not educated. You only have...
No, yeah, I don't know another language. I can accept that. But I just thought you was breaking up, so I was kind of...
I'm only trying to help you understand that this education.
Okay. Apparently, we just not going to get on the same base with this because I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think you understand.
I'm talking about
No, I get what you're saying, Ted. I get what you're saying, but I'm going to ask you to get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, but I'm asking you to get what I'm saying, too.
That's all I'm saying.
Sam, what you're saying is that regardless of the education or even because of the education, people still go and act in their own self-interest. Nobody's going to disagree with you on that. The thing is that there are people who are educated who believe that what they think they're doing in their own self-interest is not in their own self-interest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, if it's logical, if it makes sense, it makes sense. So I fully agree. But I just want to make the statement here. I forget where I got this statistic from. I got it a few years back. You've heard of life insurance fraud, right? Of course. I can't really say where I got it from, but I know it was true at that time. I don't know about now. But you know you have wives who kill husbands for insurance money, men who kill their wives for insurance money, and children, et cetera. Which one do you think was number one cause, was the number one rated for insurance fraud? It wasn't wives killing husbands. It wasn't husbands killing wives. It was the mothers killing their children for insurance money, which goes back to what I was originally talking about as far as women not really caring about anything but themselves. If they would kill their own, that's actually number one years ago when I checked that, that number one insurance fraud is women killing their children for insurance money. That's why I say it's
I don't understand just how ruthless
these frauds are.
Hey, Sam, before you came on the scene, Ted, if you remember, me and Chris told you, we both said that them holes is not natural. That shit is fiction. They're not naturally, they're not natural nurturers. Remember we were, this was last year. Me and Chris both explained, and we showed all why they're doing this and all of this. And Samuel was just validating what we said over a year ago. Them holes is not nurture. They're not. They're self-serving creatures.
And do you think that's the same for women in Muslim countries, or do you think it's exactly the same, or is it different?
Well, they're being controlled, but they're being controlled by, and they have a cult that's different over here. That's a strong patriarchal. They have a strong family culture. They get married, but they got the religion, everything else controlling all of that to make everything work over there.
You know what changes that, though? I think in them countries, it's punishable by death. Women have, like, a consequence over there that pretty much means you lose your life, from my understanding. So it's like
or,
that makes
or,
a drastic change in the person's behavior.
They're educated that way. See, that's what we're talking about, education.
I don't think that's education. I think a lot of other countries, if women do certain things, it's punishable by death.
But that's to educate you.
That's an education, Sam.
Okay.
There's any kind of education.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Okay, can we move on?
You
I
fuck up.
It's just like, what
yeah.
is, I think it's China. They say in China, if you're cheating your taxes, that's a death penalty. Is that China?
In India, it's the death penalty. I don't know about China,
yeah,
but
so
that's
like,
definitely, I mean, yeah. There's the honor
yeah,
killings.
So it,
if you betray... Right. You're right.
So that has a huge effect on the outcome of what a person's actions are going to be. Well, in America, though, it's like in a lot of other countries, there's no repercussion. They benefit from doing wrong. They get pretty much
that's
they
the
get
best education,
gifted
right.
for doing wrong.
That's
mm-hmm.
the best
you know,
education
yeah,
possible.
That's,
you get your head lopped off.
That's the problem.
Yeah, okay.
But this is yeah. being pushed out here, and it's being done. I mean – If you have an economy and you're
oh,
trying
you
to, and the corporations are
drinking that coffee diuretic make you fit.
No, Reg, go on mute. Is that you, Reg? I think.
Oh.
Yeah, the corporations. It's better if there were no marriages and everybody was single for corporations. It's better for corporations because. If a man and a woman is split, now there's two households, there's two sets of insurance, there's two, you know, utilities that have to be paid, there's, you know, everything is split. You make a lot more money. There's a lot more money to be made in a society from most corporations from single people as opposed to married, as opposed to having a family. Just wanted to throw that out there. Another reason.
Somebody take it
tomorrow. Rich, you go on mute, dude. You sound like you're beating someone up, man. You in some MMA fight or what?
No, man. I just got to take a leak and I flush the toilet. I'm good now, man. Keep going.
What the hell you do that for?
We don't want to hear you.
Well, because I had to piss.
We don't want to hear
you. Jesus. You put yourself. Can you put yourself on mute?
I forgot to, bro. My fault. Keep going.
Okay.
Go on mute, dude. Hey, SW, big thank you for that, man. Big thank you. Thank you for that. So I did some research in looking at biochemistry, and I wanted to see if there's a real difference between... is there something behind what you guys are saying? Like, women are not nurturers, they don't care. Guys really want to do the right thing and have affection and love. And most of what people call love is really just a biochemical secretion. It's dopamine, endorphins. Women have a lot of oxytocin that makes them want to bond. And men have some oxytocin, not as much as long as women. But men have this biochemical called vasopressin. And when vasopressin bonds with testosterone with oxytocin, when it bonds, man, it's like putting nitrous in your car and it intensifies whatever it is. So when vasopressin bonds with testosterone, that's when you see a man as a beast. He goes crazy. When it bonds with oxytocin, This is the dilemma for men. Women they secrete a lot of oxytocin. They want to bond, but without getting too technical, for women, it only goes in certain parts of the brain and is limited there. And anything can like turn it off, or if she's got an imbalanced diet or certain things happen, it can malfunction the secretion of oxytocin. And she ends up not bonding. When she has a baby, she also secretes a lot of oxytocin. It's like you guys are saying. It's not that a woman naturally bonds. If you inhibit her flow of oxytocin, she has no bonding with that baby. She won't give a damn about it. If she eats the wrong food, she's in an environment that inhibits the flow of oxytocin, she's not going to bond with the child, right? And she could kill it, abandon it, anything.
Let me ask you this, Ted.
What's that?
Okay, what would you suggest from your personal knowledge?
Let me finish.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So when a man, it takes longer for us to secrete oxytocin, which is makes us bond, right? We will secrete it during sex, but it just takes longer. We don't secrete as much, and testosterone blocks the flow of oxytocin. But once we start secreting it, it binds with vasopressin. It doesn't do the same for our body that it does for a woman. A woman goes into only certain parts of the brain. For us, it goes throughout the whole body, and we're hooked on that, man. And we call it love, but really it's just a biochemical secretion. But it gets more intense for us once it starts to happen. And it's easier for dudes to get hooked. So what I'm suggesting, man, is that you understand what's happening with your body and enjoy it. But understand it has nothing to do with love. It's just it's like coming. It feels good, but that doesn't mean you're in love with the woman. It feels good. It's a biochemical, it's a bodily function, and it's natural. The whole idea of love, men need to understand a distinction between biochemical secretion that feel good and actually a true authentic love part.
Yeah, you can bust a nut from having sex with a cherry pie. But let me get your opinion on something. I got my TV muted. Okay. What do you suggest for younger men who don't want to have bastard children, but still not put themselves in a position that's going to that can destroy them financially and mentally. As far as doing things the right way, they want to get married, they want to have a wife, they want to have the children, they want to have the household and the foundation. But, you know, with America, with the laws and all this stuff going on, what suggestions, I know you're not a lawyer, but it's like the men who want to start the right way and get married first, then have the child.
Right.
Hopefully they got their stuff together by then, because they don't, the woman going to want all his attention and he going to be able to fulfill his dreams. I'm going to cut myself off. I was telling a dude the other day, I don't suggest young men get married young, because if you get married young before you get a chance to obtain some of your goals to get on the track, chances are your wife or girlfriend or whatever is going to stop you from achieving it, because she's going to want attention, she's going to get jealous, she's going to kind of be like destruction or an obstacle that's going to stop you from obtaining your goals in life financially and in any other way, because for some particular reason, when a man gets in a relationship at a younger age, he gets sidetracked from his objective, because now he has a woman and she's going to want a lot of his time, and that's kind of going to deviate him and pretty much mess his life up, because now he's going to have to do this and do that. He's not focused on his goals in life. And at the same time, he still wants to attain his goal, but now he got a woman, now he wants to get married, now he wants to have children. And I try to tell the young man, you can't do all of that. Get yourself together first. Get your money right. Get your objectives right. Because if you don't do it before you get in a relationship, it's probably not going to happen, because she's not going to let it happen. She's going to be a huge distraction purposely. So it's like, what do you suggest to young men who want to do the right thing, who haven't achieved their goals financially yet and career-wise, but want to start a family?
Well, that's what we were talking about, Patrick and I. And that's why Patrick used the word education. So if you understand what I just said, you can help a young man understand, look, you're going to feel good with a woman. And there are lots of reasons that you can feel good with a woman, right? So it's amazing how this whole oxytocin and dopamine secretions happen. It's like someone may have a cadence the way your mother did, right, or your grandmother. Someone you haven't seen before. It reminds you of someone, but you don't know it. These are all things that are happening. They have your brain firing off these feel-good chemicals. You think it's love. It's not.
So when you say feel good, you talking about sex or just the relationship itself?
No, I'm not even talking.
It's Sam.
Who's that?
It's Sam.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think one of the things that I think I know what you're asking, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, what do you tell these young men? And I think one of the things you can do, I mean, if a young man is dead set on doing this, like you said, I think one of the things you can do is have them talk to some legal counsel and understand what it is that they can lose, right? So that they can better prepare for it. So when a wealthy guy gets with a woman, he makes a determination. He already knows. He's just like, okay, I get with her. She gives me a couple of children. Let's say it lasts so many years, and I got to pay such and such. Is it worth it? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll do it. I already know I got to give up some money in the end. Right? They make a determination. They're very rational on how they see these things. And I think the best thing to do for young men is to have them look at this rationally from a legal standpoint and from a financial standpoint. You know, maybe he'll still do it, but maybe he'll start putting some money away in some other way to kind of hide it. Maybe there's certain things that he can do to mitigate the damage. Right. Maybe there's some things he can do to mitigate the damage that can be done, right? And I think that's the thing to do, legal, financial, learn what could happen if this doesn't work out, and with the children and all that, legal bills and all that kind of stuff. And then start to prepare something over time, or even before you get married, start to prepare some things to minimize the damage. And that's probably the best you can do if he's dead set on trying to get married. Try to find ways to minimize the damage.
But what's your take? I tell a lot of young men, don't even think about relationships when you're young. Think about where you want to be when you're 30 and 35. Get your career, get your money right before you try to start a family. Because once you get in a relationship, you pretty much, she's gonna make it hard as hell for her man to go out here and do his job, because she's going to be showing up, stressing him, accusing him, wanting his time, driving him crazy where he can't focus. So it's like I tell men, I'm saying you want children, you want to do what you think is right, but if you do it too early, you're not going to achieve your goal, because these women are going to stop it, and once she gets pregnant, your goals are all
well. I think it's not just women. It's all the time that it's going to take for you to dedicate to getting where you want to go and getting done, and then having a family. Let's say if she doesn't sabotage, let's say even if she is a helpmate to him, it's still going to be more difficult sometimes just because you have a family, you got to work 60 hours a week, and you're just, you know, you're never there, you know, you're not there. It's just a stressful situation.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
It's better if they just focus on their purpose. The purpose is like this. If they're a person of faith or something, is their faith first, their purpose second, and a woman third. Or you can put purpose first and faith,
exactly.
You know, however you want to do it. The woman comes third, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that you don't like her or you don't love her or anything. That just means you're on your grind. And guess what? Women are more attracted and drawn to guys who are fixed on their purpose anyway. So, you know what I mean? You know, all these simps out here, they're not really checking for them. They like the attention, but that's not who they really want. And, you know, so it's better if you focus on your purpose first anyway. It's better for everybody, and it's better all around if you do that first. So
see,
I agree.
That's why I tell the younger men, don't even worry about women right now. Get yourself together. Because if you don't get yourself together, it's going to be hard to get it together once you get in a relationship and have children on top of that. I've known numerous men who had goals or got a woman pregnant or got a relationship, and their goals pretty much disappeared because now they had to get a real job and do this and that to take care of responsibilities, and they couldn't afford to try to chase their dream because they had to worry about the here and now. And they end up just never achieving their goals.
The biggest problem...
Here's my advice.
Listen, a lot of guys end up in relationships because they think because they feel good, this woman is right. This is what I was getting at. Like, I'll give you an example of a guy. The chairman, the New York Times. And when I met his wife, one of the first things his wife made clear that when he was in college, he was an asset. This guy was in his early 70s, still married to the same woman. A woman who's an asset, but you've got to know who's got to have it. There are a lot of wealthy men who find women in college, and they were not wealthy, or they may have come from money, but they didn't marry some woman who was the oldest. They married some woman who's an asset. You guys know who Grant
was.
He's a billionaire.
But we're speaking about the good old days. We're talking about
him
now with social media and OnlyFans and Facebook and Instagram.
No. This is the deal. If you're choosing a wife based on that, there's some not nice words, all right? So you deserve what you get. That's what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that.
A good feeling has nothing to do with the choice of a spouse. And if you want a woman educating and preparing your children for life, and you chose a woman because of OnlyFans, you get what you deserve.
No. I don't mean. Now, you misunderstood. You misunderstood. You misunderstood what I'm saying. Women today, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you're going to, that's another thing. You need to be able to choose women. You need to be able to look at socioeconomic class, right? You need to look at.
No. See, you still misunderstand me.
You need.
Let me go on the same page with you.
As a man, you need to be able to, I'm saying one thing. As a man, you need to be able to assess a woman who's right. You, right? If you want a woman from OnlyFans, then you're
going to get me. No. See, you misunderstand me. We need to get on the same page. You misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is men meet women today. These women got social media. They got Instagram. Whether he knows about it or not, it's a whole different world. So So a man meets a woman because he wants to start to get his family together. He wants to try to get what he thinks is a good person until he gets to find out either or. But majority of even children today got YouTube, Instagram, whatever. So a dude goes out today, say he's 24. He meets a woman, court, so whatever they talk, they're getting together. Okay. She's on social media. He's at work. She got all these dudes DMing her. She got the what are these women doing now? And, you know, it's just the mindset of women these days are just ridiculous. Whereas a man try to do the right thing, she's not waiting for that. She's ain't got the patience. She ain't trying to support him.
Sam, I don't think Ted's not disagreeing with you. You're saying, look, men, go out there, get your purpose, go out, attain your goals. Don't worry about a relationship. Ted is saying that men should not take a relationship simply because they feel good, but because that woman is a potential asset economically. So unless that woman is a potential asset in terms of having liquid assets, in other words, the same kind of money that he's making that comes from the same background, she's not an asset. She's not going to be a partner. So you discard her.
But even with that, let's look at just what you just said as far as making money. That means she has to work.
Let's look at this here.
Open doors
to you, right? And so the guy.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but I'm just giving my point of view. I deal in what my real world is. Even now, we've all worked and had a job. But a lot of women today, when they go to work, they spend more time at work than they do at home. They spend more time at work around other men than they do with their men. And they man is usually at work when she. In other words, that's why these work cuz. All I'm saying is the game's all messed up. These women working and bringing in whatever, chances are they having sex with someone at work. So it's like these dudes meet a woman. He doing his thing because he got to get himself together. He's in a relationship with her, but she's going to work. She's attracted to somebody at work because she spend more time there and see more men there than she do with him. And he's off doing his thing trying to provide and get himself together for the girl. For his woman, his family, but she's on social media. She sees dude at work. He's the player. She wants him.
He's
telling what she wants to hear. Well, I guess what I'm saying, the game's all messed up, in my opinion.
No, Sam, listen, it's not messed up. I keep saying it's a crap here. They're not having those problems.
I think you're speaking on positivity instead of reality.
That's the question, Sam, and I'm giving you reality.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're right.
You want to know what advice to give them? I'm giving you the advice of people who actually make it work. You keep talking about people
but you're speaking on older people. I'm speaking on the younger generation.
I'm talking about people who are still doing this today. The affluent, they continue to marry. They didn't break away from the things that I'm talking about. They continue to educate. That's what Patrick is saying. You educate your children. At least you need to be able to educate your boys and your girls about the difference about just feeling good and choosing someone who's compatible.
What's actually happening in this state that we're in today? I understand the education, but I mean, in reality, what is really going on right now?
About specific socioeconomic classes. So how do you break
What is really going on right now, though?
Everybody realizes what's going on today is messed up. But what's being said is that there needs to be an education, whether or not it comes from experience or whether or not it comes from somebody teaching
you.
The people who have done it.
I fully agree.
Then why do you keep saying? Okay, so you agree. And Ted, I didn't. Oh, boy.
No, I'm not. No,
Ted's bringing.
I understand what you're saying.
Brett,
don't
Ted is bringing forth the point. All right, that's the point. In order to provide the solution is to follow the example of the people in the affluent class who have apparently found the solution. They do not have a relationship apparently out of just love. They do not marry out of just love. They marry out of a socioeconomic background.
No, I get what
Blue
you're saying.
Blue blood
okay,
marriage and the advice
one,
to young people is...
But in reality, what are the young generations following? What's affluent to them right now? It's not
that Weaver, I'm agreeing with you, Sam. Sam, I'm agreeing with you. That the people who are following social media, they need to be what? Re-educated or educated on how to do it. So you sit down with your son who's 13, 14, 15, and 16, right? And you say to him, look, you have, for you, you're saying don't have a relationship. I'm saying, yeah, you can have a relationship, but don't fall into love. And if you do, try to make sure that she is right for you. And how do you do that? You can go to a lawyer or go online. There's a lot of information online. But as you were saying, continue on with your purpose and do not marry unless you have a prenup, no matter if you're in middle class, lower class, or upper class. Don't marry unless that woman is financially more compatible than emotionally compatible. Am I saying it right, Ted?
Yes. So what I'm getting at is also, in addition to what you just said, Joe, is you need to teach him how to interview a woman who's right for him.
Right.
Because if he doesn't know what to look for, you're just telling him go on his perfect work, and then he's gonna make the same mistake at 40 that he would have made at 20. Because he's got no education, he's still depending on how it feels. And that's why I laid out the whole biochemistry. It's intense.
Okay.
He has this great feeling. He's going to think that he's going to conceive that to being a compatible person because it feels good.
Let me ask you this. One question.
Whether the woman is playing him or she's... So they're both like could be the blind leading the blind. Either one knows what they're doing because they don't know what's going
on. No, I agree. What you're saying makes sense. But let me ask you this, though. You ever heard the saying that a man is never a man until they had his heart broken?
No. Listen. It's got nothing to do with broken heart. I'm answering your question. What do you tell a man? So Patrick brought up a great point. You know, a guy's 27. He's doing well in his career. He wants to have children. Hell, he may have a business that's growing, and he can see that's good, and he wants to pass his business on to a son. The best environment to raise his son and daughter will be in a two-parent household. The second best is a single father.
So what did the mistakes come in, though?
While he's working, he needs someone to care for those children. He can't just ignore that, right? He can't just go to work. Leave an infant home alone. So how do you find a woman compatible? And you need to know how, and I'm going to use a crude word, you need to know how to interrogate a woman to see if she's compatible. If you really mean business and that's what you want marriage.
Okay.
You first need to have a really good understanding of yourself, right? So just going out chasing dollars is good. But if you don't understand yourself, you won't know what's compatible. So if you're, as a father, you need to be talking to your son about, okay, how does this woman manage money, right? Her family, these are things that you need to look for. See how well she manages money. Be compatible. You want to have children. How does she want to educate? Does she just think sending them? Or do you want your children homes, right? Or you want to send them to private, or you're willing to make that investment? How does she resolve conflict? You're going to have conflict. So how does her family, you know, find out how her parents have solved conflict? Comes from a one-parent household, she may not know how to resolve conflict. Like, these are things that you're educating your son to specifically look for so he can weed out the trash and get what he wants so he's not depending on just a good feeling. And those things are a small part of the education that you did to this young man, but as Joe was saying, you're not giving it to him at 27. You've been giving this to him while he's growing up. He's 12, you know, 10.
And to dovetail from what you're saying, how does a man pick a woman that's compatible? I've said this on your show. This is something which I've advised over the years to people. Before you get into a relationship, you sit down with the person that you want to get into a relationship with. You've been dating her for 3 or 4 months. You think she's the one. But you sit down with a piece of paper, and you write out on the piece of paper what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what are the deal breakers, what are the consequences in case the person goes back on their word, and how do you resolve conflict? Now, those two little attributes I added later, but that's what I've said on the show and on other people's shows. Sit down objectively, Find out what you like. Find out if you are compatible or incompatible. Because to me, if your person says to me, yes, I can show up on time, but then she doesn't show up on time. Yes, I have no problems washing the dishes when I come home after work, but she doesn't want to wash the dishes. To me, she's a liar. And I know after a while, not after 10 years, but after a year in the relationship, she has to go because of I've written down the qualifiers.
Yeah, I agree with this.
That's my solution. Okay?
Yeah, it should be more of a practical, rational decision as opposed to just an emotional decision. But I think I have a question for everyone. Do you think culture has anything to do with it? Because I even have nieces that are, you know, have graduated, you know, 4 years out of school, and them and their friends are still single, but all the Asian, they're going to all the Asian girls' weddings. Now, the Asian girls are getting the same education. The Asian girls are getting the same education that they're getting, but they're able to navigate getting an education, having a career, and at least starting a family and putting together a family.
Yes, culture.
While the other women are struggling.
It's not just culture, gentlemen, but it's also outside influence of this feminism BS. It's who they listening to and what they internalizing, Mr. Joe. It ain't just culture.
Oh, you're right, Kendrick. You're right. Sam is right, and Patrick is right. Culture and self-preservation. The culture kind of feminism brainwashed a lot of men and women. The culture brainwashes men and women. But we all act on our own, what we think is our own self. So there are a lot of people who think that marriage is in their own self-interest. While in other cultures like the Amish or the Mormons or the Muslims, the self-interest is, I will not disobey this culture because I will get my head. Culture has a lot to do with it, self-preservation and education other than that.
But me personally, Mr. Joe, it was either you find your wife or you leave women alone or you just fornicate. That's how I was brought up. You just need to leave women alone, and if you ain't married them, leave them alone. That's what I was taught.
Right, and that's fine, but that there does then bring, Joe brings up a great point. You have your individual, so you have to protect your individual. Let's say you're in a group or a certain, a certain demographic or something, right? Like a certain culture, and it's just you guys. Now, everybody can stay single and not have children, but then the group dies out. So where does the responsibility for the group come in? That's another dynamic that we hadn't discussed. Responsibility for the group?
That's a good question. I like how you posed it, and you really kind of caught me off guard with that question as far as the responsibility to the whole group, because we were taught being responsible for individuals. You know what I'm saying? We were taught take accountability for your own individual self. So I liked it.
What I tell a lot of young men I speak to, and I say young, I mean like 35 and under, I try to speak on the love they can get, but I just pretty much tell them, yo, because a lot of them already have children, they got baby mamas and stuff. I just try to tell them before that stuff happens, don't worry about anything but yourself. Be selfish. Don't worry about your parents. Focus on you. Because if you're worrying about them, you're taking away from you. You can't help nobody till you can help yourself. And it's like, that's what I really talk to a lot of young men about. I don't talk to the bras and bras. All they do is, I ain't going to get on them. But all I'm saying, I try to speak to the men. And they sit here and, yeah, I get you. But it's like, I've only had, I think, two actually listen and actually do what I ask them to do. But majority of them, they'll sit here and cap. But it's like, they just too concerned with booty, and it's just ridiculous to the point. That's why I say it's a wrap.
Hey, Sam, do you think that arranged relationships would be a better way to go, like a lot of the Indians in India?
I can't
speak
on
that.
I've heard of it, but I've never looked into it, so I cannot give an opinion on that.
but I would,
okay.
Mr.
Right.
Sam, I give an opinion to that. I believe that'll slow a lot of this confusion down and a lot of these out of unwedlock, unplanned pregnancies out here. I believe it'll slow a lot of that down.
But, I mean, how would it actually be enforced? I mean, you can't just tell someone who they're going to.
But the culture that has an arranged marriage also makes the man the head of the household, and she does what he what he wants. So if you have an arranged marriage in America, all you have is two people killing each other.
Yeah, I don't see how that would be enforced. I really don't see how that would be. It sounds good, but I don't see how that would be enforced.
It's not a legal thing, Sam. It's a cultural
thing. No, I get what you're saying.
Even in India,
really see.
It's not a legal thing where they make it. It's a strong cultural family dynamic that makes it so. So I wasn't talking about like forcing it, but maybe if that was more of a culture, let's say Sam, you had a son, and I had a daughter, and they went to school or whatever, and then we both said, you know what, they would make probably a good couple. You know, they both. You know, got the head on straight, blah blah blah, that kind of thing. Do you think that
yeah,
that would be a good thing for you and I to get together and try to get them together? Because we both of us and let's say we were both,
I agree.
You know, their mom and we all got
logically,
together. And sat down,
I agree.
You know what? This might make a strong couple and possibly a good family.
You know,
should we do this or not? And we all agree, and then we try to get them together. Do you think that would be a good thing?
Logically, I fully agree with you, but on the other side of the fence, I know he's going to see other women that he finds attractive, she's going to see other men that he finds attractive, that she finds attractive. So it's like, I get logic, but then I look at the other side, that's why I kind of get, I try to look at both sides of the fence. So it's like, what you're saying makes sense, but realistically, I still see turmoil once they start.
Right, Sam and Patrick, you're both right again, because today you're not going to have it. But Patrick, back in the 50s and 40s, that's actually what happened, because men would go to the husbands, go to mothers and fathers of the women that they were interested in and ask for their hand in marriage. They would have family meetings, and they would have the family see if they could be compatible with one another because they were going to merge with one another. It was a cultural thing back then. We've gotten away from that. So Sam is right about today, because men, you know, they still want to go out and think that lust is love and they don't sequesters.
Mr. Joe, this my thing about what he was talking about with the lust part. You're supposed to only be lusting after your wife. And she should only be looking after her husband. Y'all shouldn't be got y'all eyes on anybody outside of y'all's union, Mr. Joe. But that's what the problem is now. That's a culture thing right now.
You're right.
So here's a question.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of them.
I have a question for everyone. What is culture? Everyone keeps talking about culture. So what is it?
Well, I'm going to give you my culture. I go first. Culture as far as a group, I don't know anything about that, but I can tell you the culture that I had when I was a child. I think I told you, and I stayed my father in third grade.
Hold on, Sam. I'm only asking, what is culture?
Okay, my mistake. I'm going to get on a whole nother level. You're right.
There's no individual culture. Culture is bigger than the individual. What is culture?
All right, culture generally. Okay, going from coast to coast and border to border of the United States, all the norms and mores of whatever particular country that is in. In our country, the culture has been taught to us by our mothers and fathers who were taught to them by their mothers and fathers who were taught to them by the so-called elders and perpetrated throughout the American school system to put your hand over your heart, to like apple pie, to like basketball, softball, baseball, football. Those things that we come into experience with are nationwide. That's culture. Whatever comes down to us is supposedly wisdom of the people that are above us, the authority figures. That's culture. So whatever we eat, drink, see, like, taste, that's given to us from the people who were here before and goes from coast to coast. That's culture to me.
Okay. Anyone else?
Traditions, Mr. T.
That's culture too, sure.
Anyone
that was the only thing that popped in my mind.
All right.
Okay, can I say this right here? This is kind of on a question, but it's different. Like I said, I was raised with my mother. I'm not going to speak on culture, but I'm trying to say as far as the parental influence.
That's not the conversation I'm asking.
I'll wait till later then. That's why I say it's not really on culture.
I don't want us to go off track what I'm asking at all.
Okay, I get you.
Answer what is culture, or you guys are going to have to wait until we can nail down what culture is.
Okay. Another thought just popped in my head. Could culture represent the people? Or is that the people an individual thing?
There's no such thing as individual culture.
You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you caught on to what I'm saying, because I had got confused there on a minute when I thought that the culture was the people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, the culture is the widely accepted, widely perceived values of whatever that group is. If the group is the nation, that's cool. If the group is a black community, fine. If it's an Asian community, fine. Whatever is that particular acceptable values of that particular group, large or small. And the cultures change. We've had, way back when people were married, the culture was the man was the absolute boss, the woman wasn't a slave, but she knew her place. Now, the culture is, it's widely accepted that women are supposedly, I'm not saying they are supposedly, at least in their mind, they're on the same level as men. That's the culture nowadays. That's the perceived so-called reality, which was not the cultural reality of the 50s, 40s, etc. So it's a widely perceived, taught lesson from our ancestors to the descendants, in my opinion.
Let me say, is there a such thing as, right now you hear a lot about dark culture and other kind of cultures, but the cultures we hear about today have nothing to do with the family. It has pretty much everything to do with outside of the family.
Different cultures. I'm only asking. I'm just saying
that the culture we have now is really not
the
family.
What is culture? You're not going
to
answer
that's what I'm saying. But see, that's pertaining to your question. The definition of culture now, in my opinion, has changed. Culture now is kind of like influences, and it's not really family orientated.
I'm only asking what I don't care about changes. What is culture?
I got you.
So, does anyone know what social anthropology and culture is?
I guess culture is who you is, T.
No, does anyone know what social anthropology is?
Anthropology.
Anthropology.
These are the experts in culture, social anthropologists. That is their expertise, culture. That's what they deal with. Does anyone know what basic culture is?
No, I don't, but please enlighten me. Please do.
anyone?
Me too.
I don't have a clue.
So social anthropologists, they say, regardless of the time period, it doesn't matter if it's last year, 1,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago, or in the future, culture is a network of conversation. It's what people say. And it includes what they don't say. Right? So it includes what's spoken and what's unspoken. And that spoken could be written, come out of movies, come out of your family. And when you look at a corporation, one of the things corporations often want to do is transform their culture so the culture can produce different results than it's never done before. And to transform a corporate culture, you literally not doing anything to people, you're literally transforming the conversations in the corporation so that the outcome and how you get there and how people see themselves and how they see the clients is transformed. It is a network of conversations. So when you guys talk about feminists, what they did was created an entirely new network of conversations that says women, you're equal to men, better than men. And all they did was create a conversation, and what you saw followed that conversation, new behavior. And that's what we're dealing with. So when we were talking about education, education is just conversations you're having with people so that they can produce certain results. But if you let outside forces that someone is saying in the chat,
you're breaking up, Ted. I can barely hear you now, man.
Did anyone hear
Yeah,
it?
You've yeah, you have been breaking up, Ted.
Okay.
Could you right. please repeat yourself, because you kind of lost on. You on a little bit.
Let me see if I, on YouTube, can you guys, am I breaking up, or can you guys hear me clearly on YouTube?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up, but I can hear you fine now.
No. I was breaking up on you, really. Huh. Okay. Social anthropologists say that a culture is a network of conversations. Okay, so on YouTube,
you're breaking up real bad, Ted.
Breaking up bad.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not good. I'm coming through clear on YouTube. I may have to shut down. I may be my Wi-Fi might be overloaded. I'm going to shut down on.
Now you're better. Now you're better.
Yeah, you're fine then.
Okay. So maybe I have to not speak so loud. okay. So social anthropologists, they say that culture is a network of conversations. That's all that the culture is. It's not what people do, because what people do is an exact correlate. It's a reflection of the conversation. So all babies are born knowing nothing, and you introduce them to conversation. So, for example, you guys are saying good things, how the feminists have told women, you are equal to a man. Am I still coming through clearly? Am I still clear or
You're
breaking
coming
up?
Through better than before. Yeah, a little better than before.
I'm still breaking up, though?
No, you're breaking up, but I can still hear you through the breakup.
I'm
like 80%. It's kind of in and out, but it's better.
Okay, I just shut off Instagram. My Wi-Fi may not be ending. Am I coming through better now?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Okay, I just put down something. Okay, so I think you guys heard me say social anthropologists say that culture is just a network of conversations. It's what people say. But it also includes the things people don't say, right? Every company has unspoken policies. Even though no one says it, there are certain things that you do. Hell, I'll give you an example of an unspoken policy in personal life. If I go to any of your houses and I ask you for a glass of water, you guys are not going to get it out of the toilet. You're not going to go get it out of the puddle. If I ask for a glass of water, you're not going to give me boiling water. You're going to ask me if I want ice. You're going to give me something I can drink, right? Is that correct? Right? Is that correct? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that correct, what I just said?
Yes.
I want to say,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you're clear. So what I'm saying is I don't have to tell you not to get water out of the toilet. It's an unspoken policy that you won't get me a glass of water from the toilet. It's an unspoken thing. Even though, and that's part of our conversations and our, they're sort of shared practices, but we get taught those things in conversations. So what I'm saying is that culture is so malleable, it's so easy to reshape. We live our lives like culture is this difficult thing, and we're at the effect of it. And it's why when we're talking about when you educate your children, so either you're going to let TV and the feminists and the school system be your children's only source of conversation that shapes their lives, or you're going to educate your children on what's in their best interest. And it's up to you as an individual parent to think about what's in the best interest of the family and the community. But those are just conversations.
Now, see, that's why I was going to get on, because I fully agree with that. That's why I was saying that I can't speak on culture, but I can speak on the household. That's why I was trying to get on. And I was saying it's still kind of cultural, but not from a wide standpoint. It's from a household standpoint.
But see, Sam, your household is a reflection of the conversation where you live, in the country.
No. I have to explain it because it's not that broad. I have to really narrow it down. And that's what I was trying to get to. To get where we at now, which goes back to previous conversations when the father was removed. Before I stayed with my father for 1 year, my mother had me messed up mentally. I was angry. I'm talking about like first, second grade. I was a brute. I was cool on the outside, but on the inside I was boiling over. I stayed with my father in 1 year. I learned more from him in third grade than I learned from my mother literally my whole life. He kept me away from all bad influences. He did not allow no woman to curse around me, smoke around me. He taught me how to cook, how to work a gun so I wouldn't be curious and hurt myself. He taught me about money. He taught me how to work a washer and dryer. He taught me so much stuff in that 1 year. He taught me self-respect. Any friend I had, he had to be their parent.
Sam, I'm going to stop right there. Sam, stop right there. See, how did your father teach those things to you?
That's what I'm saying. He
simple answer. How did your father teach those things to you?
He showed me.
No.
He showed me. I learned from watching him.
Did your father ever talk to you?
That's the point I'm making. Everything, he was a real parent. He was right there. He talked to me. He showed me.
Okay.
He pretty much did everything he's supposed to do.
Sam, this is what I'm saying to you. That is what culture is. It's what people say. That's what social anthropology is. Culture is a network of conversation. Your father introduced you to conversations that perhaps your mother did not.
You're not really understanding that. Yeah, I agree with that, but what I'm saying, he actually was a parent. After 1 year, I went back to my mother's in Atlanta. My life is up there.
What I want you to get is that as men, and your question was, what do you say to young guys? See, it's the conversation you're going to give them.
I think you're getting ahead of me. You're getting ahead of me because I didn't get a chance to make my point. What I'm saying, I stayed with him for 1 year. He reversed everything my mother had messed me up on, and then when I went back to my mother, everything got upside down again. So I'm really going to say culture. I'm going to say household. When I left him, my mother got mad at what he taught me. Believe it or not, she was kind of angry because I don't know what the stupid reason was, but she made sure she did what she could to reverse everything that he showed. So it was like, I don't really want to say culture responsible. I think it's the individual household, like he was saying earlier about the parents educating their children and talking to them.
Sam, I'm really, what I'm after is so that people can actually learn something. Your culture is a network of conversations, right? So everyone bought into conversation. Your mother bought into one.
Okay, maybe you're breaking up again.
Okay. So culture is just conversation.
Are you there?
So really,
are you there?
You can't hear me at all? That's
yeah,
why.
We hear you, Dave.
Am I the only one getting feedback or break up?
Let me, Mr. Joe, you still on?
No, I think he's lost.
He dropped. But anyhow, Ted, back to what you were just telling him, wouldn't it fall back on the old saying, Ted, that it takes a village to raise a child?
I'm really, what I'm getting at is so that you guys don't feel out of control. All culture is what people say. It's conversation. That's all that a social anthropologist, the way they define a culture is work conversation. It's what people say. So planet Earth as a culture, there's a culture on planet Earth, and then you can say there are cultures in different countries. Middle East, Saudi Arabia has certain conversations. Right, and one conversation could be about consequences. If you do this, the conversation is clear that there are consequences. And maybe there are consequences if you're a whore in Saudi Arabia, right? But those are all conversations that people inherit, and those conversations shape people's actions. It helps shape their mindset.
So
when Sam is talking about his father gave him one conversation, his mother gave him another. Both conversations exist in the United States. That's part of the culture, right? We have these two opposing conversations, and it's the big reason why there's so much conflict between men and women is because you have one part of the United States telling women, like someone said, to be adversaries to men because they're the enemy. In another group saying, no, you work together and collaborate. And what you end up with is a small percentage of the population who continues to collaborate, and the rest of the country follows the other one that says, you fight. And it's all happening in conversation.
But it seems like, Ted, it's happening simultaneously, though.
Well, that's what I just said. They're opposing you.
So it would appear that we probably need, maybe one conversation to get the country back in order, or do we still need multiple conversations?
Exactly. And so that's what I'm getting at. If men can understand, it's really conversation. So if you're teaching, whether it's your son, your nephew, your neighbor, the guy who works with you, men are going to have to create brand new conversations that support where you want to go. So when it comes to meeting a woman, you need to know if she is having the same kind of conversations that you want to live with.
Right. Up front, Ted, we both going to have some type of understanding with each other.
Right. And you need to have those conversations because that's going to tell you which culture. We live in a country where the cultures, we have two conversations out of fighting one another. And that's part of our culture. Our culture is the battle of the sexes, which means two conversations that oppose one another.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, go ahead, Samuel.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut him off. He was talking.
All right, one of you guys.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. I get everything you're saying. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, but I try to look at stuff from a broader standpoint instead of more narrowed down when it comes to, because there's always different sides to every story. Let's just take the current generation, 18, 13, 24, 25, 30, whatever. When the girls or the women turn on the radio, they hear all my single ladies and all this stupid stuff they see, and they see twerking and booties everywhere and fat women talking about it's okay to be fat. I mean, it's like, do you think it's really fallible?
Do you know why they can do that, Samuel?
I'm sorry, you was breaking up. What was that?
Do you know why the young women in this country can do that?
I mean, do you think it's fashionable as far as, because, yeah, everyone, look, every world star, they show women with titties and asses and...
Listen, I'm asking a simple question. Do you know why the women...
I couldn't really hear you.
You know why the women continue to have those conversations?
One more time. I caught most of it, but a couple of letters didn't get through.
Can you hear me, Kendrick?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you loud and clear on this end, Ted.
All right, so tell him, ask the question. Tell him what I just asked him. I think maybe he can hear you better.
I can hear you fine. It's that you are having a hard time hearing.
I hear you. I'm not having any breakup. I'm only asking you, Sam, why are the young women having those conversations?
Why are they in the conversations?
Why are they having them?
Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking you, why are these young women, you just described what the kind of conversation.
Yeah, I'm trying to say their influences. Yeah.
And so why are they having them?
Why are they having the conversations and influences?
Yes.
I don't really have to answer that. I mean, it just happened.
No, it's not. You see, in Saudi Arabia, they don't allow that. The men don't stand for that.
What was that?
Did you hear me, Kendrick?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're breaking up. Just go ahead and talk, though. I'm going to catch what I can.
All right, so it's on your end because Kendrick can hear me.
Yeah, it could be me. I don't really know. I mean, my phone usually is great, but I can't really say things happen. But go ahead, I'll do what I can do.
All I said was the men don't stand for that. See,
but
that
the men
mean?
Are not in the households to get today, though.
Listen, in the United States, these guys are from the Middle East, live in the United States, and they're not having those problems.
I was told, Ted, that they wasn't acclimated to the American wage. Does that play a part in it?
They live here. They live here. They see exactly what's going on.
But the feminist stuff, it didn't influence them to you.
It's because the men didn't allow those conversations to take over their household.
And that's true. And,
well, we all know
and
that the black man is not the head of his household. Let's just put that out there. Nowadays, the black man is not leading the household, period. We got young men who may be the man of the home, but he's still feminine. He's still raised by – he's not a man, mentally.
Okay.
And he's raising his children who are now adults.
So you understand why I say he's going to have different conversations, meaning he's going to think differently, he's going to talk about things differently, he's not going to be worried about I'm not worried about those girls who do what you said. I don't care about them. They're not part of my universe.
I agree with you, Ted, because when in Rome, you do as the Romans do. That's what I was taught. But now, if them kids still buying by your under your roof and you providing for them, putting clothes on their back, they're going to do what you tell them to do. And that's what the Saudi Arabian men teaching their daughters. And they enforce that rule in their household, Ted.
Men are living by a different set of conversations in the Middle East. Men in the U.S. are, I don't know if they're afraid to embrace those conversations or if they've allowed the conflict of feminism saying don't do this and don't do that. So they hold their topic to be a man. And they bought into conversations that diminished.
Hey, I've been real quiet for a long time. Now, Samuel's correct. In the Western Hemisphere, or any guy in a particular country now, a man is not running his household. Okay. You don't have any power. She's holding all the power. Once you've got in a committed relationship, once you've got in a marriage contract, once you have kids and whatever, in this climate, you've lost your power. You only your power is staying single, free, and keep it in moving.
I got you loud and clear, but let me ask you this, Can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah, what's up, Blair?
How is it? Because maybe you can explain it to me, because, like I say, I'm just as simple as they come, but how is it that a certain segment of the population of men on the line, what Ted was talking about, the Asians, the Mexicans, and the, help my man, Lord, the mob bosses and the kingpin and all those type of men don't have these problems, but only the quote-unquote Caucasian man and the black man had these problems in America right now.
How we know that other races don't have that problem? Is it because the media is
you
not
don't
showing
hear
it?
Nothing, you, hold on, Mr. Sammy. You don't hear nothing about no mob bosses jumping on their wives. You don't hear nothing about none of them type of dudes.
No, that's the point that I'm making. How do we know it's not going on? Because the media is not talking about it? Or how do we know? I see many Asian women when I go out, because where I'm at,
but,
and they ratchet as hell.
But I know Mr. Ted know better than me.
I see a lot of Asian women, and they ratchet as hell. So it's like, how we know it's not going on? We can't just say because we haven't heard about it, don't mean it's not going on.
Look at the numbers. Teen pregnancy in the Asian community. Whoever's got...
Now, I don't know about the pregnancy right now.
Go on mute. If you have beeping, you have noise, go on mute. What's going on, McNeil Bell? The statistics show that the Asian teenage pregnancy is around 3 or 4%. The numbers don't lie.
So don't tell... The facts don't lie. And like I'm saying, all the other... These crime bosses and all those type, you don't hear nothing about none of that foolishness with them. So you got some white single mothers, and then you got white black single mothers.
Hold on, Reg. Do you have beeping? Go on mute, Reg. You keep having a lot of noise, man.
Ted,
I
moved away from it, man. All you got to do is say.
Oh, come on, man.
It's loud though, man. No, you don't know how loud it is for us.
Oh, okay, Ted. It was a microwave. It beeped when I opened it up the door. I moved away from it.
It's loud.
The answer to your question is, again, you know what? Those races have a culture. And that's all I can say. They have a culture. American culture is we don't have a culture.
No, we do. That's why I went through the whole thing of explaining all a culture is a network of conversation. There's no magic, no mystic. It's not because you do a certain thing or drive it. It's what you say. All your culture is the conversations that people have. That's for a country. That's for the whole planet. It's for a company. And all it is, that's what people have to get. So that their men are thinking and saying things that other men are not thinking and saying.
Okay, well, Ted, this is right here where I disagree with you with.
No,
in reality, today, the media is the culture.
Culture is
the media. The culture now. The media got WAP out on the television showing women twerking and...
It's what is being said. And if you don't educate your children with conversation that support them to make better decisions, they're going to get their conversations from somewhere else.
Yes, I fully agree with you. That makes sense. But let's be realistic. The average household does not have a father in it. The mother's on social media. She's not paying her children no attention whatsoever. She's too busy trying to make booty videos and get likes and all this other stuff on Facebook. The average man is not there. The average household has been raised by single black mothers, and they're not concerned with their children. They're too busy trying to get attention elsewhere. So the children have been raised by media, and like I say, they got WAP. They get all they show is rape. They're trying to promote racism. They're trying to promote violence.
Because,
and it's like the children, that's what they're being raised by.
No,
so
listen,
it's like
the men allowed that.
It only exists because men allow it in they allow those conversations.
But the men today,
and that's my
we can't blame the men today for what happened to the men before us.
Come on now. Hold on there, Mr. Sanders. We got to blame
men
some
today were not raised by men. No, well, I'm saying the men today were not raised by men. They was raised by single mothers. They hardly even see their father.
So you tell me your age group was raised by women.
The men today were talking to their mothers
to
hate their father. This is real talk. This is real talk. Men today who have children were taught by their mothers to hate their fathers. So they don't know anything about their fathers. They only see them, what, once every few months or whatever, if that much. So it's like, I can't blame the men today for how they are because they were kept away from anything that could have benefited them from a man's point of view by their mothers. So it's like...
When I introduce conversations to be, you asked a valid question. What do you tell a young guy now? And I introduce new conversations, and every time I introduce conversations, I give the young guy power. You keep talking about what women do. That's the difference between Middle Easterns and Asians, because they focus on these are the conversations you have as a man. You don't let you don't give a damn. If the women are doing these things and talking about that, you just don't deal with them. Period. And so why are we talking about what these women doing this? Who gives a fuck? We're talking about how do you build power. And if those women are powerless.
I get what you're saying. I mean, because you're talking to a grown man, so I understand you because I get it. But I'm saying the younger men, they didn't really have an option.
Yes, they do. You all see that's and see what you just said is a conversation, and until that conversation is killed, the conversation is we don't have a choice. That's a conversation for powerlessness. This is what I'm trying to say. Men in other cultures, they don't have those powerless conversations.
No, they don't need it, Ted. They running things contrary to popular belief.
Until men stop saying powerless things, as long as you say powerless things, that's your culture, powerlessness. This is I'm getting that all culture is what you say. And if you
I'm about 5 seconds behind because I got to listen on YouTube, but I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm 5 seconds behind because I have to hear you on YouTube, but I get what you're saying. See, I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying, we get it because we get it. What I'm saying, I want you to make my point of view, the younger men, they don't get it because they wasn't offered both sides of the plate. It was only offered one side. That's why I say that's why I speak to the younger men, because they pretty much raised by 95% women their whole life.
Who gives a fuck? When are men gonna
Because they're the future men. They're the one raising children.
When are men gonna stand up and have balls and say, "Hey, this is the deal. This is a new conversation."
But how are the younger men gonna stand up and have balls if they don't know what balls are?
No, it's not the young men. It's the dudes who keep saying, "Well, what about them? The fuck them?"
We got men walking around with skinny jeans, man. And look at this is standing as women do. They don't know what balls are because they was never told what balls are.
No, they're going to know by the example you set. If you don't set an example, then they're only going to have the conversation.
But they're the one raising the
future. This is pretty good right here.
But I'm saying they're the one who have the current children that are now the children who having children.
No,
the men who don't matter, but the men just said don't matter are the ones who have the children that do matter.
If they don't have an example for men with balls, then they're going to keep having the same conversation that a girl has.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. The current state we're in, men are not men no more. The current generation of men are not men.
I don't give a shit. That has nothing to do with it.
I mean, I get what you're saying. See, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I want you to look at what I'm saying, though. I get what you're saying.
You're going to stand up and have balls talk about power. So this conversation started about with alimony and palimony. So if a man really wants to get married, he needs to have balls and say, "Hey, you want to get married? Cool. I want to get married. I want to have children. This is the way I want it. How do you want to raise your family? We need to make sure
we're... But man, today... Young men, they are afraid of women because anything they do, they can get locked up for.
Have balls.
No man has.
But, seriously, young men today are afraid of women because there's too many consequences. A woman can destroy his life. He can get locked up and lose his job.
You tell her to fuck off.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I get what you're saying, but I'm just
stop
trying to speak to the men.
Stop dealing with women. Stop dealing with
men today are afraid of women, younger men.
Stop dealing with low-class women and half
no,
the problems will go away.
I get it, but I'm saying they don't get it.
And you tell them, stop dealing with low-class. How do you identify?
Oh, I tell them all the time. You know what? A lot of men avoid me now, younger men, because the way I speak is foreign to them. They don't get it. They've never had nobody tell them what I tell them. So they see me coming. They speak out of respect. But they're afraid of conversation because they are just not programmed that way.
All it is conversation. Mm-hmm. The brain has the capacity to take on billions of conversations. Billions.
I'm liking this kid.
The brain has the capacity to do that. Stop underestimating these guys, man. Or they just need to see men who actually stand up for something and have conversations that have power. If you keep giving the power to the women, then you're going to keep having the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they sending, Ted, where are they sending these men at?
Which men are you talking?
That's not be funny. I'm just saying, in real life, where are the younger men seeing these type of men at? They're not seeing them because they hang around their peers. They hang around people their own age. They're not seeing these men. When they go out to the club or wherever, even with COVID, they can't go nowhere now because the government ain't going to get on COVID. The point that I'm making, though, they hang around their peers. They don't hang around older men. So they're not seeing it. They look at TV, they get brainwashed. They go on social media, they get brainwashed. The peers are brainwashed.
Then fuck them.
Of course you have your separate apples out of the bunch. But
you're gonna get out.
Let him die on the vine. Then let him die.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, man. My bad. Go ahead.
So we're gonna need free labor if we're gonna be competitive. Slaves. That's what prison is for. Slave labor. They like picking up soap, so let them go pick up the soap. There are men who actually want to hear a different conversation.
Oh, yeah, now that's true.
I mean, of course, you always have your exceptions.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not exceptions.
I mean, you have your exceptions, but we have to be honest, you know, because I'm not politically correct. You know, it's like but I'm trying to be, you know, civilized, but it's like we have to be honest in what's really going on. The younger men today, Ted, they're not around men who, they look at us, they call us old man or OG. It's like a joke to them. Very few actually want to grasp the concept. Most of them concerned with just, I ain't trying to be funny, their likes, Facebook, Instagram, booty. And they not thinking about manhood.
Yay.
They never heard anything about manhood. They were raised by rap videos. Yeah. I mean, they don't know. They literally, really don't know anything about being
hey,
a man. This
hey,
is my opinion,
Sam, let me, yeah, Sam, I just want to say something. Do you know what manhood is? Manhood is responsibility and accountability. They don't want that because they was never taught that because they was man-made, but they was bitch raised, and that's the nature of bitch. No accountability and no responsibility. So that's what they is. So go. So I agree with you saying. Go ahead. Hello.
Yeah, we here.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we here.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
I said we hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Everything went out. You know. I didn't hear you for about.
Yeah, the telephone is real bad. I'm listening on YouTube going back and forth.
Okay.
Mine's?
Yeah, because everyone can hear me clearly on YouTube.
Oh well, I don't know what I'm in this corporate building. What about now? I moved to another part.
Yeah, you're clear. You just have a little echo, but you sound like you're in a.
Oh.
But that's okay. It's
yeah,
because right.
I mean, it's, what I'm trying to tell you is manhood is responsibility
no,
and accountability.
We heard you 100%. I heard everything you said. I heard it. Man,
oh, okay. Oh.
Bitch raised. We
yeah.
heard. We
so,
heard everything you said.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's the whole point. When homeboy is saying, you know, they don't want no part of that. They don't want no part of that. And actually the women are suffering because this is what they raised.
So why are you worried about that?
I'm not. I'm not worried. I'm just validating what my man Sam said.
What? Why? So we have young guys listening to us. Why are we talking about what women do and what those guys? Who gives a fuck? The question is,
well,
we're teaching guys who actually want something. And every time I start talking about what you teach them, you keep saying, "Well, the girls on Instagram." Man, who gives a shit about that? We're talking about what are you talking about? Guys who want
something. Well, I ain't saying nothing about no damn Instagram.
Okay, say it. I've spoken to in the past 2 months.
When did I say something about some damn Instagram?
In the past 4 months, I've invited 4 individuals to meet with me, or even come to my home, chess, have a little drink and talk. Oh, yeah, all right. Let me get your number. Not one has hit me up.
So
they,
what?
I mean, it's ridiculous, man. What? It's like these young cats. They just. I ain't gonna say I give up on them.
Okay.
And they were all black. I can't speak on other races now. I haven't spoken other races as far as coming to my home. But they were all 4 were black. They all act like they was with it, but they all fluke. They all, what they call, flake today.
But,
it's
okay.
Like,
let me
they
tell
don't
you
want the knowledge.
Let me tell you what's happening for me. When the young guys in their 20s, I'm talking all guys under 30, when we make an agreement that we're going to talk on the phone, they show up. And they fucking talk.
Matter of fact, you know, I had 2 while I was trying to call you. Both of them did that.
They're not doing to me what they're doing with you.
Oh, Lord, here we go. Okay, then, so what's your point, Ted? And what's your point, Ted?
I'm saying that if that's...
So you can't identify with him... You can't identify with him, but just because you can't identify with him, that doesn't mean that he's wrong, right?
No. I'm saying we were talking about what are the things you teach them. If we're gonna sit there and talk about what they don't do, what the women are doing, that's not what the question was.
We're not talking about what the women are doing. He is saying he's trying to talk to these guys, but they're not interested in it and whatever.
What I was alluding to is
you were talking about manhood. Manhood is accountability and responsibility.
They're afraid when I speak to them, I call them out on what they're doing, and they agree,
okay.
But I think that they just don't want to accept, they're not ready to step up, in other words.
If you got it, then
what's the problem?
I'm trying to explain it to you, Reg. If we're talking about what do you teach the young guys, that shit has nothing to do with it. They don't learn anything by hearing about men who don't show up. We're talking about how do you make shit work. That's what they need to hear.
Do you think these guys, this younger generation, actually
okay,
really
I get,
want to
I get
work?
What you're saying now, Ted. I get what you're saying, Ted. Okay, I got you now. I got what you're saying.
About how to make shit work. We understand what's out there. How long are we going to keep talking about that? I don't, after a while.
In other words, you're saying don't worry about the ones who don't want it.
I said it clear. Let them fucking go to jail and be slaves.
Okay. I got you now. Okay. I had to catch up. I got you. If they don't want it, you can't force it to them. I got you.
Let them die on a vine, I said. Let their mother die.
Let's focus on the ones who want it, in other words.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
That's why I started out talking about alimony, so they can actually know what those things are so that you can navigate and negotiate. But even before you get to that, you need to know.
Okay. Now, getting back to that, though, still, you were talking about qualifying women as far as questions and upbringing and what they should look for. They're going to get played before they learn, because the women ain't going to, I mean, let's keep it real, the women going to lie, the women know who they are, because they're still going to get played before they finally get knowledge
now
and experience on what to look for.
Now you're talking about a guy who's unprepared.
But I get what you're saying. I shouldn't even speak negative on that. I should speak on what they should do, what it works out in that.
That means he's unprepared and he should get played.
No, I get what you're saying. Even though it may not, they might get played, they should still do that. So I see what you're saying. It makes perfectly good sense.
No. If you don't understand the kinds of questions to ask and what to look for, see, a woman can lie where she can't lie forever. And if you're an intelligent, you're an intelligent man, you're asked questions, and at some point she becomes inconsistent with what she says. You look at her life.
Well, let me speak to the young man right quick. Young man, if you're looking at a woman, you're talking to a woman, she got her pants up in the butt, she got that weed, she got a phone in her hand 24 hours a day, don't fuck with her. She ain't about shit.
She got a tattoo.
Oh.
She got a nose piercing. She got a different color hair. Okay.
I agree with you, Mr. Sam.
I met this woman, and I asked her straight, do you have any tattoos? And she said, let me put it like this. She said, you ever see a Rolls Royce with a bumper sticker? She said, the way I look at myself, I'm a Rolls Royce. And you don't put bumper stickers on Rolls Royce. She said, I don't have any tattoos because I don't need the bumper
sticker.
So that's a woman with a very different mindset. She came out of a two-parent household. So a man cannot be afraid to ask what he wants to know about her. And sometimes if you ask a woman, do you manage money well, she can lie and say yes. I mean, what do you think she's going to say, right? Are you promiscuous? No. Right? So there are questions you need to learn to ask. Even psychologists, when they give you a personality psychological exam, they know that they have to ask you one question five different ways to find out if you're inconsistent. A man cannot be afraid to ask the same question five different ways to find out what he wants to know, and then watch to see if she's consistent with it. That's what I'm getting.
I'm just glad I was born in 73. If I was born in 99, goodness gracious, it's this shit crazy.
Well, no, Mr. Sam, I was born in 88. I wish I had been born around that time with y'all. This
Sam,
mess out here.
No, it's not a mess for everyone. That's what you guys are missing. It's not a mess for everyone.
Yes, of course. Yeah, nothing's absolute.
It's a mess, and if you keep playing in mess, that's the way the world is going to look to you.
Yeah.
I just talked about a woman just a couple of years ago who said, she said, I'm like a Rolls Royce. You don't put a bumper sticker. I have no tattoos. I'm like a Rolls Royce. And she's down in Atlanta is where she lives.
Damn, that's a different one. That's a different one from this garbage down here.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. But if you don't know, if you don't know how to interview, interrogate.
But that's actually good, though. That gives the men a chance to work on themselves because they see what's going on. That gives them an opportunity to focus on themselves. For the ones who ain't worried about trying to bust a nut and booty, they can actually get their life together. And then they'll come across a different plateau of women.
Okay.
These women still will be you know what. Women still will be you know what, regardless of the financial status that you have or your job. But at least they come across a different branch of women where they can kind of get more options, you know, so it's versus what's in the neighborhood. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
That's what I'm getting. You don't have to deal
with. They need an asset, not a liability.
Right.
You don't have to just deal with people in your neighborhood. You got to be smart about it. You see what's in your neighborhood. You either move your ass somewhere else, or you start hanging out in different places. But you can't be upset because the people in your neighborhood, if they only speak English, you can't be upset with them because they don't speak Russian. All they were taught was English.
And also, young man, I don't know if we got one or two listening. I had a broad today. Yesterday, well, throughout the day, 24 hours.
she got her own business and everything. She wanted to test me. I said, I don't test. You want to speak to me, speak to me. I'm not something you do when you're multitask. You ain't got time to talk to me. Don't test me. And she got offended, so I let her butt go. It's like men, you got to demand respect. You're not something to just be on someone's convenience list. If you're not her priority, then you're last. There is no in-between.
Exactly.
It may sound arrogant, but men, you got to be arrogant. You got to be a man. They can either take it or leave it. If you ask her to do something, she say, I got to think about it, the answer's no. If she say, I don't know, the answer's no. You got to go ahead and be on your tiptoes and let them know. You know, it's like, don't tolerate no nonsense, period.
Exactly.
If anyone's listening, I don't know.
And you have the right to ask her any damn thing you want. And these chicks who've been sleeping with 30, 40, 100 different guys or more, you need to know that, because that, like you said, Reg, she'll be a liability to you. If women who say, oh, my numbers, the amount of people I slept with doesn't matter, yes, it does. It does. You're mentally unstable. And I have a right to know that. And then I choose whether I want to do it.
We need to have a young man show. You've had one young cat called in. I forget his name, but he had the speech thing going on. But
he was 19 years old.
I would really like to speak to more young men who actually want to benefit and learn. Because like I say, where I'm at, I pretty much go to work and go home. I don't really go out anymore, but I'm not really coming across them. You know, so if I could come across them, I would love to listen to you talk to them and talk to them. And I may not be as politically correct as you and civilized as you, but I would really enjoy talking to them. It's like, but I don't really know where to go. I mean, the boys club wouldn't have me. I tried to go to my high school and talk. Well, you got a record from back in 1992, so you might make it fuck up out, excuse me. But it's like, I have walls everywhere because they make excuses. And I try to try to be a big brother. Well, back in 92, you was convicted of whatever. They told me I couldn't be a bit proud of because of what happened almost 30 years ago. So it's like, that's not stopping me. But it's like, you know what I'm saying. It's like, it's an agenda.
So listen to this, Sam, right? And it seems like I'm beating a dead horse. But these cats come here from the Middle East. They come here from Asia. And they're not depending on someone else's social structures like Big Brothers and the church and high school. They create their own. I dated this woman from Morocco, and she has a cousin. She had just come here. She barely spoke English, and she had a cousin who lived here in New York, and she was visiting, and her cousin had two sons, like 6 and 11-year-old. They were young, and the 11-year-old said something smart to the woman I was dating. And the father reached across the table and smacked him in his mouth. And he said, you never talk to an adult like that. He said, you're a Moroccan and you're raised in a Moroccan household. You have a problem with that. You want to tell your school that I'm abusing you? You go, and they will take you and put your ass in a home. But as long as you live here, you live under my rules and you're raised as a Moroccan. And his wife did not interfere at all.
Oh, hell no. I fully agree with that.
Because she would probably have popped in her mouth.
Understand why I'm saying that. If men don't start to take that kind of stand and keep talking, you got to get all the culture is a conversation. Men keep saying we're helpless, the court, the government, the school. If you keep saying that, that's a culture that says we can't do anything.
But you know what? Don't say it.
No, wait. In that man's culture, he's got balls, and he says, I'm in the U.S., and this is how it works. You want to call the police? You want to tell them? You go do it. And if men start to have that kind of balls, you want to go do it, then go. And it's not even having balls. It's just being a man. You have the
biological... This was last week, or this Sunday, right? Or was it Monday yet? I don't know. Anyway, this was last week. It's not even the younger dude, because I like talk about myself. I like my actions to speak for me, but you can't see me, of course. But even the older dudes, I speak to dudes in their 40s and stuff, and they're still got the same mindset. It's like,
so
Like, I gave a dude a sandwich the other day. I went to Arby's.
Why do I care, Stan?
Okay.
Huh?
I couldn't hear.
Why do I care about this?
Okay. Yeah, I went there again. So you're right. You're right. I shouldn't be focusing on them. You're right. I fully agree with that. But it's like my problem is I don't look for people to talk to, but I do take advantage of opportunities. And I don't let it get me down, but it's like, it's really disheartening.
No, it's
the
not.
The majority of men that I see, they're just not on point.
Listen.
But I get what you're saying. They got nothing to do with the subject. We shouldn't focus on that.
You cannot. Listen, if you're Russian and some Russian dude goes in your neighborhood and he's upset because no one in your neighborhood speaks Russian, he's insane, right? The people there were not taught Russian. So if you live in a neighborhood where they're not taught certain things, you cannot be upset with them. They only have what they were taught. And you being upset with them for not being taught other things is no different than the Russian dude being upset because they don't speak Russian.
No, I'm not upset with them. It's just disheartening. You know, because I'm not emotional, but I do have, I am what I consider to be real.
So
and I take things to heart because
have,
as a whole.
People have what they have. There's no reason to be
that's true.
All they have is English.
You're right.
It's like, so for those who want more, they want to hear that. Telling them how disheartened you are doesn't help a young guy who wants more. See, this is what I'm getting at. This is the young guys need to start to distinguish between conversations for power and conversations for being helpless. So if you're a man, now I'm going to get back to the subject, and you want to mitigate alimony and palimony, you need to be having power conversations up front. You need to be interviewing that woman at your pace and for the things you want. I have women asking me if I'm an attorney because I ask them whatever the hell I want. And if they don't like it, I don't care. And when I finish asking, I you know, maybe a week later, I say, look, you and I are not a match. This is not going to work. I didn't have sex with her. You could say maybe I should have waited till I had sex, but I didn't. I said, this is not going to work. I had one woman say, well, you're wrong. We're going to make it work. And I said, look, I'm canceling the date. We're not even going out. I'm not going to give you what you want. And she still wanted to play. And eventually I had to tell her, I told you this is not going to work. You have the right to ask any question you want. It's your life. And this is what men need to understand.
No, I get what you're saying. But let's get back to the subject like you were saying earlier.
You need power.
Let's get back to the subject like you were saying earlier. What is a young man who is considering getting married, what steps, once again, do you think he needs to take to protect himself? We know about the prenup, but this again, all the special things a young man needs to take if he's considering marriage or having a child.
Okay. So the first thing you need to teach young men or boys, young boys, that you're going to feel good with a woman. That has nothing to do with her being someone you want to marry. Because if you marry a woman just based on feeling, you're going to be paying alimony. Most likely. And if you live with her long enough, it could be palimony. That's what boys need to understand. We biologically end up having a stronger feeling than the woman does. A woman can cut the ties easier. I'm talking, this is now science. She can cut her ties easier with a man, with her children. It's harder for us the way our biochemistry works. It's intense for us. So dudes need to start, they need to logically understand it's okay to feel good, but that has nothing to do with getting married. That's where you need to start then. Because if they're only raised by their mother, or they hear all the fairy tales and they want to be the prince for the woman and they want to have all these good feelings, and the woman just lets them walk down an aisle based on good feelings and she's got nothing to offer him, he's in trouble. So guys, young men need to boys need to understand this up front. so that they can better assess themselves and the decisions they're making. And then the things that you were saying, Sam, like, hey, you know, I'm not tolerating this texting. If you don't have time for me, then this, we're done. Can't be afraid to do that. They can't be afraid to lose the affection of a woman, because otherwise the man is going to end up being led. A lot of women lead from the bottom and will just tell a man what he wants to hear and make him feel like he's leading. And she'll milk you financially. Am I answering your question?
Sounded pretty good to me, Teddy.
Oh, yeah, you're on point.
Wait, so the thing that they say works for a relationship, and marriage, fiance, cohabitant, those are titles for a relationship. What works for a relationship is compatibility. If once you think love is the foundation, I hate to use the word incompetent, but it really is. If you go into a relationship believing that love is going to be the foundation, you're actually incompetent. And you might as well start putting money away for alimony or to survive after they...
Hey, Ted, you know who's the one who used that word love the most? It's a woman. And
right.
When she mentions love, she's not thinking about... She's really not... She's not mentioning about her loving you. It's how much you love her, because if you love her and you committed to her, she got control of your resources. She wants control. Commitment, love, and emotion gives her power in the relationship. So I just wanted to put that in there. But it sounded good, Teddy. Go ahead.
No, I'm ready right here. Hey, Ted, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I cut you off. My apologies.
No, go ahead, Sam.
I don't know if I told you about old boy who used to work at one of my jobs. We was cool, but I told him, he told about his wife, and I told him, straight up, she's a hoe. So, you know, I'm a straight up person.
Wait a minute.
It wasn't his wife yet. It was the baby mama, but he was considering marrying her. But
okay.
he gave his information. I told him straight up, hey, man, she's a hoe. And he know I'm straight